estate Sandringham, where, of course, his younger brother, Andrew Windsor, is now to where he has been essentially exiled. Six vehicles, onlookers say eight people, appearing to be plainclothes police officers, and one of whom carrying what seems to be a police-issue laptop. Andrew, of course, Windsor continues to deny all wrongdoing, but this story is growing at a rate of knots, and I wonder where it's going to reach.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, it's reported the government is planning a major redesign of special educational needs support in England. Leaked proposals suggest children's care plans will be reassessed when they move from primary to secondary school. Full details of the reforms are expected next week. Government Minister Alex Davis-Jones has told LBC any changes will create a better system for families.
It's not one size fits all, Nick, and you will know this. You know, children aren't, and all SEND children aren't the same. So what's right for one child won't be appropriate for another. But what is important is that we hear from those with lived experience. We get their voices at the heart of this. We hear from our own MPs who are representing their constituents across England so that we get the whole policy right. But responding to leaks and just bits of information doesn't help anybody.
The Foreign Secretary is promising to relentlessly pursue the case of a British couple jailed in Iran for 10 years. Lindsay and Craig Foreman were on a motorbike trip when they were detained last January. They've denied spying charges and their family claims Tehran has no evidence. The Prime Minister has appointed Dame Antonia Romeo as Cabinet Secretary and Head of the Civil Service. She replaces Sir Chris Wormald, who resigned last week in the wake of the Lord Mandelson saga. Dame Antonia is the first woman to hold the post in the role's history. Sir Keir Starmer says tech firms are being put on notice as he promises to take down illegal content within 48 hours. He wants to change the law so if companies fail to act, they can be fined or banned in the UK. And the four-time F1 world champion Max Verstappen says the new cars for this season have made it his least favourite era to race in. He's preparing for the new campaign after losing out on the title to Lando Norris last year. Speaking to Global's Up to Speed podcast, he said the cars for the new campaign are not pure Formula One.
At the end of the day, when you go into competition, you will always do the best you can with what you have because it's the same for everyone. Sometimes things can be more enjoyable than others. And for me personally, it's not so enjoyable. But I do know, of course, that when I sit in the car, I will always give it my best. Is it fast enough? I have no idea. You know, we have to wait and see.
And you can hear the full interview on Global Player. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 49 at 10,637. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.14. LBC weather, a dry and dull day for most. Some patchy rain will return to the northwest later, a high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible, and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search, don't get caught out.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
It is 3 minutes after ten. It's an overused phrase, isn't it, these days, breaking news. But in the moments that have passed since I told you six unmarked police cars appeared to have arrived at the King's estate in Norfolk, Sandringham, where his disgraced younger brother, Andrew Windsor, currently resides. In those moments, he has reportedly been arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office. That, at the moment, is all anybody knows. But it is in the context of events, dear boy, events. It's a cataclysmic moment for the royal family, and because the royal family is so intrinsic to this country, intrinsic to both perceptions of and constitutional and unconstitutional realities of, it's enormous. It's pretty close to unprecedented. In fact, it is unprecedented. The former Prince Andrew, the younger brother of the King, has been arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office. This, of course, as a consequence of some of the revelations to recently emerge in the so-called Epstein files. But at first glance, and I don't know how many times this morning I'm going to have to remind you of two things. The first will be that Andrew Windsor denies all wrongdoing, and the second will be that this is all anybody knows at the moment, even though it's a developing story, breaking news. The only available facts can be contained within a single sentence. But you know that this is not about the girls and young women who feature in the Epstein files, sometimes in very close proximity to Andrew, both in photographs and in reportage, but about the possible or the alleged sharing of information, commercial information, to which he would have had access as a consequence of his curious role as a sort of make-believe trade envoy for the United Kingdom. And here we are. It's a moment of, well, I've never done anything like this before. When breaking news involves the royal family, it is normally, sadly, a death or a funeral, possibly the occasional marriage, but they never take us by surprise. Breaking news about Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, as he calls himself at the moment, being arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office. And I have to be honest with you, this is live radio, and there's no earthly way that anything else of comparable importance is going to occur in the next hour, and I might just repeat myself until then. Obvious responses include, I bet he's sweating now, as about 30 people have already texted me. And I was going to ask you, and I suspect I still will, but if you didn't have an answer lined up before this event, before this moment, then I suspect you've probably got one lined up now. I was talking to Eleanor before we came on air. I'm obsessed with the Clapham Omnibus. Younger listeners won't know what that involves. The Clapham Omnibus is a sort of byword for public conversation. Will the man on the Clapham Omnibus care? Or will the man on the Clapham Omnibus be talking about this? It's very much of the age in which the phrase was coined, because, of course, most people don't travel by bus these days, and it could just as likely be a woman. But that was the phrase, the man on the Clapham Omnibus. And they're the subjects that I, what's the word that I want? They're the subjects that I both, I simultaneously love and hate the most. The subjects about which we just don't know how deep the public interest is. Until this point, I'd been saying in pre-program conversations, I just have this weird sense that something else has to happen before the gravity of the situation will become clear, will properly crystallize. There is always denial of any wrongdoing. And it still may, of course, turn out that Andrew Windsor has no case to answer on this, the question of why he would pay £12 million to a young woman accusing him of rape when there was absolutely no wrongdoing is a question that, of course, only him and his family could answer. But the idea of not knowing, nobody knows. It's like my old geography teacher, you remember? Don't know, don't need to know, nobody knows. Nobody knows. Nobody can actually measure, even in the days of the internet. I could probably have a word with the online team and they would tell me what is currently gathering most of your interest, what is attracting most of your interest. But that doesn't necessarily translate into conversations. It doesn't necessarily translate into questions I can ask you and you can ring in to answer. But the idea that this is no longer enormous disappeared 8 minutes ago. The idea, the argument, the opinion that this is just another who cares about the royal family, the idea that this is not an existential threat to the actual monarchy, would you go that far? That's probably going to be the phone-in. This is one of those rare moments where you can hear the programme take shape in my brain exactly as the words emerge from my mouth in an even more fresh and entirely unplanned way than normal. But this is the moment, 8 minutes, 9 minutes ago, this morning, on the 66th birthday of Andrew Windsor, the monarchy came under, I would argue, greater pressure than it has at any point since the death in Paris of Diana, Princess of Wales, and the hideously inadequate response of her estranged family. Not to mention, of course, the brutal treatment of her sons, particularly the youngest, compelled to walk like a lost boy behind that coffin in an attempt to shore up the public relations of much older members of the family who had failed signally to recognise the public mood. This is a story of an altogether different order. This is an entirely different moment. But in the context of pressure brought to bear upon the palace, in the context of this question, how much trouble is the palace in at the moment? I would argue possibly more than it has ever been in before. 10 minutes after 10 is the time. As part of the investigation, a statement from Thames Valley Police, we have today arrested a man in his 60s from Norfolk on suspicion of misconduct in public office and are carrying out searches at addresses in Berkshire and Norfolk. The man remains in police custody at this time. We will not be naming the arrested man as per national guidance. Please also remember that the case is now active. This is for you as well, and for me, by the way, not just the statement that's been issued by Thames Valley Police. Please also remember that this case is now active, so care should be taken with any publication to avoid being in contempt of court. Assistant Chief Constable Oliver Wright said, following a thorough assessment, we have now opened an investigation into this allegation of misconduct in public office. It is important that we protect the integrity and objectivity of our investigation as we work with our partners to investigate this alleged offence. We understand the significant public interest in this case, and we will provide updates at the appropriate time. And the Press Association confirming that Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has been arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office, Thames Valley Police said. So, with the constant caveats that will run through at least the first hour of this programme, like Blackpool through a stick of rock, he denies all wrongdoing and no further details are known, I think we can still ask the question of how much trouble the royal family is currently in. I was poised to ask it before this story broke. I was poised to ask it, actually, because I record that little snippet that goes out towards the end of Nick's show about 2 minutes before you hear it. So I was asking you how far up the family tree these problems, perceived and now actual, will reach before we knew that Andrew Windsor had been arrested this morning on suspicion of misconduct in public office. So the phrase I used was, how far up the family tree does this reach? I think we can simplify it still further now, can't we? The King's brother is currently under arrest, facing allegations of misconduct in public office. Will this affect the monarchy? 0345 6060 973. How much trouble is the institution of the monarchy and, of course, the current monarch actually in? Remember the very, very slow process of stripping him of the various baubles and titles in which he has rejoiced for his entire life, some of which, of course, bestowed upon him for unspecified services to the public weal. What I wonder is the first reaction that you have to this story. Just the very first reaction. Mine is just wow. Can't really articulate much beyond a sort of sense of extraordinary events unfolding in real time right under our very noses. So we have to be cognizant of contempt of court. We have to be cognizant of repeated denials of any wrongdoing. And we have to be cognizant of a paucity of any further detail or further fact. But this is what we know. The Duke of York, as he was until incredibly recently, is under arrest on suspicion of misconduct in public office. This is a radio phone-in programme, and at moments like this, I have little more to ask you than how you respond to this moment, how you respond to this breaking news story. 0345 6060 973 is the number that you need. The man who was, for most of his life, second in line to the throne, or for much of his life, second in line to the throne of this country, is currently under police arrest. And I want to know, A, what you think it means for the monarchy, a question that I don't think has carried this level of weight until since Diana, Princess of Wales, passed away, and crucially, the royal family acted with almost unbelievable incompetence and callousness in the immediate aftermath of that tragedy. So that's question number one. What does it mean for the monarchy in general? How far up the family tree do you think this is going to reach? And your first reaction to this story, your first response, what is it that you find yourself thinking that you've never thought before because we are in a moment the likes of which we have never seen? And let me clarify that, if I may, very briefly. It is not a question about whether you think we should have a royal family. It's not a question about whether or not you think the monarchy is an anachronism or republicanism is a hideous force. It is a simple reflection of how the country we all love and grew up in, well, not all of us grew up here, some of us haven't grown up at all, but it is a simple reflection of how our country is constructed. Now, our population is a pyramid, and at the very top of that pyramid, for good or for ill, this is not an opinion, it's counting, at the very top of that pyramid sits the royal family. It is a monarchical institution that has barely changed since 1066. It underpins almost every level of our society. Some of the great injustices of our age can still be traced back to the institution of monarchy as imposed upon this country by William the Conqueror. The ownership of lands, the ownership of huge swathes of our islands goes back to the divvying up undertaken, get my numbers slightly wrong, give or take 1,000 years ago by the monarch. And that institution, I think uniquely and incredibly, has sustained in its current form for hundreds of years since they chopped off Charles I's head, or at least since his son Charles II returned to the throne. Things have barely changed. And I think today, and I'm always a little bit allergic to hyperbole, because when you're live on air and you're in the middle of a moment, there's a tendency to think, wow, this is huge. And then whether you're on your bus home later today and you think, well, actually, it wasn't that huge at all. I don't think it gets much, much bigger than this, of course, short of the events that often follow arrests. But of course, and crucially, not always. So how far up the family tree do you think this already reaches? Already reaches. 03456060973. And a phone in you may only hear on this program once. What's your absolute first reaction to this story? Be conscious of contempt of court. Be conscious of continued denials from Andrew Windsor of any wrongdoing whatsoever, whether in the context of Virginia Giuffre and other young women who were under the hideous control of the convicted paedophile and the close friend of Andrew Windsor, Jeffrey Epstein, and be conscious also of the facts as we know them and your response to those available facts, the known knowns. How big a deal is this? How far up the family tree does this now reach? Because the wheels haven't exactly been spinning very quickly, have they, so far? How far up the family tree does this reach? And what is, drawing on anything you want from your own knowledge, life, experience, understand, what is the first thing you found yourself thinking when you heard me break the news a few moments ago that Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, formerly the Duke of York, a man born with pretty much all of the gifts and silver spoons that any society in the history of humanity can bestow, is under arrest on suspicion of misconduct in public office? I genuinely can't wait to hear what you've got to say. Listen, we'll have to talk to the great and the good this hour as well. We'll have to speak to people who do have a modicum of expertise in these areas. But we are all subjects of this king, all of us. I want to know how you respond to this news at this moment on this number. 03456060973.
LBC. Turn up your taste buds with Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces. From mild creamy garlic and black pepper, to bold smoky garlic and sun-dried tomato,
whoa,
and spicy smoked paprika and chili.
Woo-hoo!
Try Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces with serious flavor. Dolmio, yeah!
It took me less than 30 seconds to request my repeat prescription on the NHS app.
That's quicker than making this brew.
And I save time by not ringing the GP practice.
Win.
Plus, with notifications turned on, I know as soon as I get a new message.
Big win.
So there's more time for this tea break.
So did you go to that restaurant?
I did. It was so
good. We're delivering an NHS fit for the future. Request repeat prescriptions and turn on notifications to never miss a message. Tap the NHS app.
Donations to British Heart Foundation fund scientific research that can help save lives. People like Joe, who's pitching his next big business plan. Maria, who's sending out her wedding invitations. And Jack, who's just being a teenager again. Because when you donate, you fund more than just science. You help save lives. British Heart Foundation funds research that aims to cure inherited heart muscle diseases. But our work is not done. Donate now at bhf.org.uk and keep us beating.
Radio turns miles into memories. From sing-alongs with the family, road tripping with your friends, or continuing that conversation right into work. In-car entertainment is getting better and better, allowing you to create more memories than ever before. So make sure your next car suits all your radio needs.
Fly into flip-flop mode. There's still time to get up to £500 off package holidays in EasyJet's Big Orange Sale. Or get flights from £28 one way. EasyJet. Get out there. Selected dates and flights. Limited availability. Holiday sale ends 3rd of March. Min spend and ATOL protected. T's and C's apply.
James O'Brien on LBC. Listen on your smart speaker. Just say, play LBC.
It is 20 minutes after 10 and you are listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where if you are just joining us, we are in the throes of an extraordinary breaking news story. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, which is the name that the former Duke of York currently goes by, has been arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office. I told you it was unprecedented, so I'm taking a little bit of guidance on whether we're going to take phone calls at all on this, because of course of the pressures of contempt of court and the knowledge that the man under arrest continues to deny all wrongdoing. So it's not just me who is, if you like, flying blind this morning. The entire UK news media is. So bear with. Happily, Joe Draper, LBC's reporter, is with us just to sort of, I suppose, run through all the thing, all the known knowns, as Donald Rumsfeld would say, Joe.
Well, as you say, James, there's a lot we don't know at this point. It is an active investigation, so we're being very careful about what we do say. Briefly, though, James, we know Thames Valley Police arrested Andrew Mountbatten Windsor this morning. He turned 66 today. It's his birthday. Former prince arrested, we're told, on suspicion of misconduct in public office. He is currently in custody. He's being questioned by police. We know Sandringham is being searched by police. We think as well Windsor in Berkshire. These are related, James, to allegations that the former prince, as UK trade envoy, between 2001 and 2011, essentially, he's alleged to have shared information, financial information, with Jeffrey Epstein, the convicted paedophile. That is what these allegations are about. That's what we think the arrest is related to. As I say, Andrew has denied any wrongdoing up until this point, and we do await further details.
Eight forces, of course, are currently involved in and the National Crime Agency looking at various allegations over the conduct of Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. And our colleague Andy Hughes' story as well has gathered pace since he shared it with us on the radio a couple of days ago, with the investigation extending also to former protection officers accused by a former senior Met protection officer of turning a blind eye, allegedly, to some of the exploits. I suppose we need to remind ourselves also of how the latest revelations, the latest tranche of documents, has already effectively ended the career of Peter Mandelson.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's difficult to see how he comes back into public office after this, although, as I say, he's denied allegations, as has Andrew. But I think, you know, we don't know how far this goes, do we, James? And details still emerging as we go along.
Surrey police made a public appeal for information about 3-decade-old allegations of human trafficking and sexual assault. The Metropolitan Police said it would examine new claims that close protection officers assigned to Andrew turned that blind eye during visits to Little St. James. National Crime Agency confirms it was supporting police forces so they could carry out a full and independent assessment of anything relevant in the files. And a different force, Thames Valley Police, turning up mob-handed, as the saying goes, at Sandringham in Norfolk today. 6 vehicles counted by onlookers and already arresting Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. 24 minutes after 10 is the time. I mean, it's impossible, really, for us to do anything other than sit here goggle-eyed, isn't it? I'm not confident of what the law is with regard to contempt, whether or not it changes according... I mean, it doesn't change according to the status of the person that is under arrest, but there's no... None of us did this at journalism college. This is one of the most prominent men in our population for 66 years currently in police custody.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge story. As I say, the details still emerging. We have got a statement from the police, which I can read to you, James. It's from Assistant Chief Constable Oliver Wright. He says, following thorough assessment, we have now opened an investigation into this allegation of misconduct in public office. That's what I mentioned earlier about the handing of potential sensitive financial information to Jeffrey Epstein. The Assistant Chief Constable goes on, it is important that we protect the integrity objectivity of our investigations. We work to investigate this alleged offence. We understand the significant public interest in this case, and we will provide updates at the appropriate time, and I'm sure we'll get more information as the afternoon goes on.
Yeah, I mean, we're unlikely to get much before 11 o'clock today, I would imagine, and yet it would feel very, very odd for you or me or anybody doing what we do for a living to talk about anything else. So we find ourselves, I said it was uncharted waters. We're quite possibly dealing with a subject that we are not minded to turn into a phone-in for slightly obvious, but not entirely obvious reasons, and yet at the same time, we've now run through absolutely everything that we know at least 3 times.
That is, yeah, that's what we know so far. You know, we've got colleagues going to some of the locations relevant to this, and we will bring more information when we have it, more colour to this story. But as you say, it's quickly developing, but hugely significant, James.
Indeedy. Some things I can add to that. Andrew, who was stripped of all his royal titles last year, although remember, not immediately, again, that the palace sort of responded incrementally with the first tranche of punishment, not perceived as having gone far enough, so they were compelled to come back and go the full distance, as it were, and remove the HRH and the dukedom and the prince title. The US Department of Justice has, of course, repeatedly reminded us that files could include falsely submitted documents, so it is not beyond reasonable doubt that everything that has been released as part of the so-called Epstein files is completely above board, factual and established. But we also knew this morning, before these events began to unfold, that detectives at Thames Valley Police were separately assessing whether Andrew should be investigated for the offence of misconduct in public office. This over allegations that he forwarded confidential reports while a trade envoy for the UK. This is in addition to an allegation that Epstein sent a young woman to the UK for a sexual encounter with Andrew at his Royal Lodge home in Windsor, where, as you say, police are also conducting searches in Windsor in 2010. And Norfolk Police, not involved in today's arrest, will also be looking at the history of events at Sandringham itself, because the Epstein files that we have seen contain several references to Andrew and Sandringham, where we know he hosted Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, who continues to serve a 20-year sentence for sex trafficking, one of only 2 people to have been convicted of any crimes in relation to the Epstein files to date. Although I wonder whether Andrew Windsor has just become the 3rd person to be arrested in relation to the Epstein files, despite the thousands and thousands of names that appear therein. I should also remind you that Wiltshire Police are reported to be assisting in the Metropolitan Police's investigation into Lord Mandelson, because some of these allegations are quite similar. That close confidant, another close confidant of Epstein, who stayed in contact after that 2008 conviction for soliciting a minor for prostitution, was business secretary in 2008. 2009 and is accused of leaking confidential information to the paedophile. Again, we understand that Peter Mandelson denies any criminality or acting for personal gain. But we do know that the National Police Chiefs Council, and this doesn't happen every day, has set up a national coordination group that will be supported by the National Crime Agency. Not exactly a happy birthday, Joe.
Absolutely not. It's definitely not how I think he'd want to spend it, is it? And I'm just looking as well at some of those images from the Sandringham estate, black, sort of unmarked cars, we think police cars, arriving early this morning, pulling outside the royal residence there to arrest him. I mean, it is incredibly... I think unprecedented is the only word for it, isn't it, James?
Well, it's an unprecedented opportunity to use the word unprecedented, though.
Not today, I'm sure.
Coming up to 10:30, please, but rest assured, we're completely cognizant of the seriousness of the situation, as is demonstrated by the fact that I'm resisting the temptation to do what I sometimes do on royal occasions, which is engage in some gentle mockery of how ridiculous we find ourselves in situations where we have to just repeat the same thing over and over again, because that is sometimes the way that breaking news unfolds. What I do want to know is a little bit more about what exactly misconduct in public office is, what exactly the possible penalties and punishments and sanctions can be for it, and how often we see it cited on charge sheets or indeed on arrest logs, because off the top of my head, I don't know. Happily, after the very latest news headlines, we will speak to somebody who can answer at least some of those questions. And with those very headlines, here's Dominic Ellis.
Breaking news this hour, the former Prince, Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor, has been arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office. It follows revelations about his ties with the late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. It comes after Thames Valley Police confirmed it was assessing claims Andrew shared confidential information with Epstein when he was a trade envoy. Andrew has always strongly denied any allegations of wrongdoing in connection with Epstein. Stay with LBC for the very latest. The Foreign Secretary is promising to relentlessly pursue the case of a British couple jailed in Iran for 10 years. Lindsay and Craig Foreman were on a motorbike trip when they were detained last year. They've denied spying charges. And it's understood the government is planning a major redesign of special educational needs support in England. Leaked proposals suggest children's care plans will be reassessed when they move from primary to secondary school. LBC weather, a dry and dull day for most. Some patchy rain will return in the northwest later, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC.
Psst, hey dogs. Yeah, I'm talking to you. If you're tired of dry, tasteless kibble or slop that plops out of a tin, you're going to want to hear this. Butternut Box makes only the freshest dog food with juicy meat and tender veg. It's the kind of food that makes dogs tongue out, running around the kitchen happy. Let's hope your human heard this too. Butternut Box. Fresh food. Happy dogs. Try Butternut Box today and get 25% off your first two boxes. Offer available online in the UK and Ireland to first-time customers only.
Donations to British Heart Foundation fund scientific research that can help save lives. People like Joe, who's pitching his next big business plan. Maria, who's sending out her wedding invitations. And Jack, who's just being a teenager again. Because when you donate, you fund more than just science. You help save lives. British Heart Foundation funds research that aims to cure inherited heart muscle diseases. But our work is not done. Donate now at bhf.org.uk and keep us beating.
At TfO, we're opening up more of London for everyone with step-free access. We're continuing to improve accessibility at many of our stations, and now over 200 stations and counting have step-free access, including the entire Elizabeth Line, DLR and all tram stops. That is how we're making the greener way to travel more accessible to all. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Greener than total estimated petrol and diesel car emissions.
The Hillary sale ends soon. So get window wise and grab these amazing offers while you still can. Like up to 50% off hundreds of made to measure blinds, curtains and shutters. Plus, grab £50 off your electric blind order and conveniently control your blinds for less. And don't forget, with Hillary's, measuring and fitting is always included. So get window wise and book your free in-home appointment today at Hillary's.co.uk. But hurry, the Hillary sale ends on the 9th of March. Conditions apply.
Tesco Insurance are driving down the cost of motoring with 10% off car insurance. Take out a car insurance policy before the 15th of May 2026 and you'll get 10% off with club card prices. We offer a range of cover options so you can choose the one that's right for you. Save 10% when you buy or renew a car policy with Tesco Insurance. Search Tesco Car Insurance and get a quote direct today. Club card required. Excludes add-ons. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC. Message James O'Brien on WhatsApp now on 0345 6060973.
10:34 is the time. Two things occur to me as we continue to process this extraordinary news. The first is, a little flippantly, that there are television executives somewhere despairing over the next series of The Crown, scripts that will be making their way to the incinerator as we speak. And the second is that somewhere in this country, in a police station, and we don't know which one, I presume Thames Valley Police premises, where I think the HQ is Kidlington in Oxfordshire, as opposed to the nearest big police station to Sandringham, which would be in King's Lynn in Norfolk. Andrew Windsor is currently sitting amid the traditional detritus, the sort of plastic cups and the scuffed tables, awaiting or, embarked upon questioning by police who have arrested him on suspicion of misconduct in public office. If you're just joining us, you might need to rewind live radio just to be 100% certain that this is all real and it is all happening. It's surprising but not shocking. Because, of course, the sense of momentum. In fact, do you know what I said in my trail at 9:45 this morning? I said there's a very real sense of a net closing in. And that, of course, was before the vehicles had even arrived at Sandringham and before reports of the arrest had reached us. But how much do we know? Not a lot. No charges have been brought, so contempt legislation remains live, and most of us don't know even what the gravity or what the seriousness of the subject given for arrest, the suspected or alleged misconduct in public office, really means. Happily, Chris Dore is with us, a King's Counsel, barrister and author of Justice on Trial, Why the System is Broken and How We Can Fix It. So, to begin, where to begin, Chris? I bet you weren't expecting to be dealing with questions like this when you woke up this morning any more than I was expecting to be asking them. But, I don't want to turn it into a game of top trumps or a sort of hit parade. How serious is misconduct in public office and how often do we see it in a court?
Well, firstly, James, when you're in my line of work, you tend to wake up to stories like this.
I take your point. All right, but perhaps not with this.
Calls telling you that someone's in this position. So it's not so unusual for me. But so the answer is, firstly, we all have to be super careful now, don't we? Because we all know that the contempt of court act kicks in as soon as someone is arrested. And that means that any seriously prejudicial comment which is made in the media or on social media is potentially something for which you could be prosecuted yourself. So I think people need to be very, very careful about wild comment about this, particularly ill-informed comment. So let me answer your question. What's misconduct in public office? Well, it's broken down into four elements, and they are these. First of all, that the defendant must be a public officer acting as such. Now, that, in this case, is not to me entirely clear, but the police must be satisfied that he is a public or was a public officer. Secondly, they willfully neglect to perform a duty or willfully misconduct themselves in that public office. So that's the second element. The third element is that misconduct must be an abuse of the public's trust in them as an office holder. And finally, the conduct must be serious enough to deserve criminal punishment. So those are the four elements of misconduct in a public office. It's very, very broad, as you will gather. It can cover a multitude of circumstances. But without making any comment on the merits one way or the other, it seems that this is focused very clearly on the release of confidential government information to Jeffrey Epstein. That seems to be the gist of it. It does not, as far as I can see, have anything to do with sexual misconduct so far.
No, indeed, although investigations involving up to 9 police forces continue in that field as well. A slightly odd question for you, Chris. You may not want to or indeed be able to answer it, but our colleague Andy Hughes broke a story earlier this week that has had extraordinary traction, although it's likely to disappear under the weight of coverage of these latest developments today. And it was about Royal Protection, Close Protection officers reportedly going a bit native, turning a blind eye because of the status of the people that they were looking after. How will the legal system, the police, and presumably lawyers, Does the status play any part at all in the process now? And I'm thinking more subconsciously than consciously. There'll be police officers who are pinching themselves, right, and poking their phones around the corner of the custody suite, one imagines.
Yeah, I mean, this is always difficult. I've done a number of very, very high-profile criminal cases involving very high-profile individuals, and you do find that the police do sometimes behave in ways that are quite extraordinary compared to the way that they behave for sort of anonymous people, if you like, or someone who's not in the public eye. You know, the reality is that that is a danger. When we've seen it over the years many times with protection officers in different situations with members of the royal family and so forth, where, you know, there has been a suggestion of behaviour that crosses the line in terms of becoming more of a personal support network rather than acting in an official capacity as a police officer. And police officers are definitely public officers acting as such. So if any police officer was involved in any improper or unlawful behaviour in relation to Andrew, then that would expose that officer to risk.
Do we know, I mean, forgive me if you answered this, I don't think you did, precisely what makes, I think you said you didn't know, that what makes a public officer, because speaking entirely as a member of the public, I'm not sure I had any idea that Andrew Windsor held a role that involved him being a public officer, as in sort of representing me in any way.
Well, you may not have been, but the police are clearly satisfied of that. Otherwise, they wouldn't have arrested him for this offence. And as I understand it, this relates to a period when he was a trade ambassador of some kind for the UK. And we know that he did fulfil trade roles over the years with foreign governments and elsewhere. And of course, there has been a certain amount of scandal about some of that activity on his part. But all I can tell you is that there is a narrow category of people. It does include government ministers. It does include civil servants, police officers, and people who are obviously acting on behalf of the public. And it does also include people who are contracted or in some way commissioned by the government to act in a public office on behalf of the public, as Andrew apparently was.
Yeah, so it may have looked like something of a sinecure from the outside, but from the inside, as you remind us, it would have been government sanctioned, and therefore, for the police's purposes, and indeed for ours, it would be public office. Unfair question. Can you think of cases from the past, like what would be the big textbook cases of misconduct in public office that you would have learned at law school or students might still study today?
Well, I was involved in perhaps one of the most high profile ones, which was the Hillsborough prosecution of the police officers in the Hillsborough case for their dealings with the evidence gathering, etc. After the Hillsborough disaster, where it was suggested that they had misconducted themselves. Of course, they were all actually cleared in the end by either a jury or a judge. But that's the sort of a classic example. There haven't been a huge number of prosecutions for this, but it can often be used even for much simple things like a police officer who, you know, accesses criminal records to help for his friends. You know, it can be something as low level as that, or it can be something as high level as sharing state secrets with a convicted paedophile, as seems to be the allegation here.
Was John Profumo ever prosecuted for it? I should know this.
John Profumo, I'm afraid, I don't know if it was misconduct in public office or some other form of espionage or something of that kind. I don't remember the specific offence, but the headline issue in the sense of revealing confidential government information to a foreign power, as it was in his case, is the same principle here. I mean, if you reveal highly sensitive and confidential government information to a private individual who has no interest in that and no legitimate interest in that information, then there is obviously going to be a risk of prosecution.
And there will be a solicitor hot-footing his way probably to Kidlington in Oxfordshire or to somewhere in those environs as we speak, with a quite extraordinary brief in front of them, potentially.
Well, absolutely, there will, of course, and Andrew has previously been represented by solicitors, and that's in the public domain. I'm not going to mention any names, but the name of solicitors out have been acting for him in the past are in the public domain, and I'm sure that whilst, again, we can say that sometimes lawyers can be prone to some celebrity kind of behaviours, etc., I'm sure that the lawyer will do his or her job and ensure that Andrew is properly advised and that the interactions with the police are conducted fully under legal advice of his rights and indeed the risks attaching to police interviews.
Chris, given that we're all going to be using the word unprecedented an unprecedented amount of times today, before I let you go, are there any questions I should have asked you that you haven't actually answered yet?
Well, I mean, I don't think so, because I think the problem is that you mentioned before how this is the huge story and this is going to be headline news now all over the world, no doubt, for days and days. But the difficulty is that we don't really know very much. We don't know what the police have got. We don't know what the evidence is. We've seen some of the Epstein files releases, the material that's come out recently, which relate to Prince Andrew in different ways. But apart from that fairly limited public information, we just don't know the scope of the investigation. So personally, whilst I'm happy to come on and kind of explain the mechanics of this to you, I think we all need to just for the time being, avoid this kind of speculation, which tends to end in problems for the criminal process. And indeed, doesn't really help the public's understanding if we are totally speculative rather than sticking to what we do know.
Wise words, indeed. Thank you very much indeed, Chris Dorr, barrister and author of Justice on Trial, Why the System is Broken and How We Can Fix It. And, of course, Chris also reminding us why, under advisement as things stand, we are not going to be inviting phone calls onto the programme. Not because I don't trust you, because I do, but because none of us have found ourselves in situations quite like this before, and the very last thing anybody would want to do is jeopardise any criminal investigation, even though, as I have repeated on a number of occasions, no charges have yet been brought. I love the moment, though, of people just turning on the radio. Oh, flipping out, I've missed the first 45 minutes of James's show. I wonder what he's wanging on about now. So you've just clicked your radio on. I've always got you in the back of my mind, by the way. The person who has just in that moment turned the radio on. Because sometimes you'll hear things that make absolutely no sense at all out of context. Lifted completely out of context. But today, if you are just joining us, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, as he currently calls himself, the former Duke of York, the former Prince Andrew, is under arrest. He was arrested this morning at his new home in Norfolk, or at least where he's currently staying, on the Sandringham estate in Norfolk. And he is under arrest on suspicion of misconduct in public office, which Chris Dorr has happily just provided us with a much better understanding of. 10:45 is the time. I hope this doesn't sound inappropriate. I'm glad that the late Queen isn't alive to see this, actually, because it is a moment of, I'm going to use the word, and I'm going to stop making jokes about using the word because it's the only word that fits. It's a moment of unprecedented jeopardy.
Weekdays from 7 a.m.
This is Taxation Without Representation.
Straight to the point.
You get giddy with all these U-turns.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Lucky he gets up in the morning, really, isn't it?
Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store. LBC.
You want £1 million.
I'd love £1 million.
So you enter the birthday draw and you think of a way to spend £1 million.
I'd deposit regularly into a retirement fund that safely tracks the market.
It's a lucky day and you win the birthday draw.
I can't believe it.
And you buy a snake and a superbike instead.
Yeah, baby.
Is it your lucky day? For your chance to win £1 million, just search the birthday draw and enter now. From Global and ITV. 18 plus UK only. No purchase necessary.
I'm going to tell you exactly what you need to do. Dominate your finances.
Sunday morning, listening to questionable financial advice from the FinTok Bros on her social feed.
Drowning in green. Scale, 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 scale.
This is the moment Isaac chose to search Barclays Life Skills, get some better money intel, and save up for that new skateboard. We're helping young people become money confident. Search Barclays Life Skills. Barclays. Make money work for you.
The Hillary sale ends soon. So get window wise and grab these amazing offers while you still can. Like up to 50% off hundreds of made-to-measure blinds, curtains and shutters. Plus, grab £50 off your electric blind order and conveniently control your blinds for less. And don't forget, with Hillary's, measuring and fitting is always included. So get window wise and book your free in-home appointment today at hillarys.co.uk. But hurry, the Hillary sale ends on the 9th of March. Conditions apply.
This year at Amazon, we're increasing the electric vehicles used for deliveries across Europe to over 10,000. It's a difference you'll notice on your doorstep, where babies are made a fuss of, where we deliver footballs for kids' kickabouts, and where they deliver the football straight into next door's garden. Can they have their ball back, please? We're delivering change where it matters, on your doorstep. Based on projected delivery service partner vehicles across the UK and EU by end of 2026.
Did you know that if you buy your train tickets early, you could get a better price with Southeastern Advance Tickets? Whether you're planning a fun family day out or heading into town for a meeting, the earlier you buy, the cheaper your ticket could be. See our terms and conditions to check if it's the right ticket for you. Buy your advance train tickets now from the Southeastern app or website and pay no booking fees.
Southeastern.
James O'Brien. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
It is 10:48. It occurs to me, I mean, oddly, if you weren't listening to me 2 minutes ago, this won't make a great deal of sense, but it occurs to me on mornings like this that I am actually presenting a programme for the person who has just switched on. There are two listeners. Well, that's not true. There's just shy of 1.5 million, but there are only two listeners. There's the one who's listening and knows exactly what's going on and is waiting to find out new developments and more. And then, of course, there is the listener who has more or less just tuned in and needs to know exactly what is going on. And it is to the second one that I say Andrew Windsor has been arrested this morning on suspicion of misconduct in public office. To the first listener, the one who's listening in expectation of further information, I suspect that it's going to be a very, very long morning. Joe Draper, LBC's reporter, is with me to run through once again exactly what we do know.
Well, I'll start with what we know, and then I may go on to what we don't know, but there is a lot more that we don't know yet, James, than what we do. Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor, as you say, arrested early this morning on suspicion of misconduct in public office. He is currently in police custody. We don't know where. We believe he was arrested at his Sandringham residence this morning. After the releases, there's of course pages of files related to his relationship with the paedophile financier Jeffrey Epstein, and we think this arrest is related to allegations that he essentially, as trade envoy to the UK, passed confidential, sensitive financial information to Epstein, which Epstein may have benefited from or profited from. That's the allegation. As I say, Andrew has always denied wrongdoing. And we don't know yet if he's actually been charged. We know he's been arrested, but we do await more information. Police are searching not just his Sandringham estate, of course, in Norfolk, but also Windsor, the Royal Lodge, there where he's previously lived. But as I say, James, there's a lot more that we don't know.
And, I mean, people tuning in may have expected this arrest to have had something to do with some of the other allegations surrounding him and his friendship with Jeffrey Epstein, and indeed some of the revelations, which we are constantly reminded by our American cousins, are not necessarily copper-bottomed. There could be documents in those files that appear to be real and official but have not been confirmed as such, but it is nothing to do. This arrest, although investigations continue with Virginia Giuffre, or with the more recent allegation that Jeffrey Epstein had trafficked another young woman to the United States to have sexual relations with the man who was then a prince, but is no longer.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those are allegations that she came to the UK, she was trafficked here by Epstein to have a sexual encounter, we're told, with Andrew. But as I say, that's not related to this arrest. There were some emails released in that latest tranche by the US Department of Justice, which may be relevant, but again, we don't know the details, that shows the former Duke potentially allegedly sharing reports of official visits to Hong Kong, Vietnam, Singapore with Epstein. We know one email appeared to show have been forwarded by Andrew after being sent, 5 minutes actually, after being sent by his then special advisor, Amir Patel. So clearly, questions here about what he was feeding to Epstein, and also why, you know, what Epstein had to gain from the potential sharing of that information.
Indeed, Joe, thank you. Sue Sim is a former chief constable of Northumbria Police. Led the manhunt for Raoul Moat back in 2010, and she joins me now. Sue, who's in charge when you've got sort of eight different forces? Before we get on to the current arrest, you've got eight different forces pursuing essentially eight different but very interlinked investigations. Who's in charge on a day like today?
There will have been a decision made. There is all, of course, I can't talk about any specific case.
Of course.
What I can talk about is what would happen as a general rule.
Yes.
Now, forces, when there are a number of forces involved in an investigation, one will have been made the primary force. That'll be the force with the most significant job that is to be put to the individual with the most significant allegation. The others will then all work together. They will form a team and they will all work together so that they are not crossing over anybody. They're not stepping on anybody's toes. They're all working together in a seamless operation.
So there's no prospect this morning of West Midlands police officers or indeed Metropolitan police officers or Surrey police officers discovering from the news what Thames Valley police officers have just done and being taken by surprise?
There should be nothing like that. With an operation that involves a number of forces, they should have all been working very closely together and made the decision as to who would make an arrest.
Who makes that decision? I mean, who sits around that table? All the chief constables? And who is sort of primus inter pares? Because there would be arguments, I imagine, Sue, and you might have one force saying, no, our case is more important than your case. So who would ultimately have taken the call, as it were?
This will have been worked out days, if not weeks, in advance. It's not something that people do not make a decision just to do an arrest on any one particular day, unless there's a significant reason to do that. What happens is there will be plenty of discussions and negotiations about the work that's involved, and a decision will have been made about who was going to be the primary force and who was going to make an arrest. There's lots of discussions and negotiations.
I'm sure there are. I'm sure, and presumably, potentially, one or two noses put out of joint in the process as well. But as you say, we will await and possibly not ever discover the really fine detail of what's going on. On a sort of operational level, you'd expect something like this to happen quite early in the morning, I presume?
Yes, well, I mean, you can go and make arrests can be made any time of the day or night. A decision will have been made about what was the most appropriate time to undertake an arrest, and that's when it will have been done. That's what happens with any operation.
And it doesn't matter from the police's point of view, I mean, because we're trying still to scrabble together a better understanding of precisely what the criteria are for misconduct in public office. But those decisions, again, are taken upstairs, as it were, rather than by officers on the ground or officers charged with making the actual arrest.
The Crown Prosecution Service will be involved in any discussions around charges, anything that would be put to any individual in a significant arrest.
And so this is really helpful. Thank you so much for your time. I can tell from the background noise that you have other demands upon your attention at the moment, so I won't detain you unduly. But given that there are so many forces currently pursuing so many investigations, it is almost a given that many other forces will want to be talking to the man who is under arrest. Again, we don't need to speak about a specific case. We're talking about any person under arrest by one force who is being investigated by seven others. So will pressure already be brought to bear? I mean, if another force, for example, wanted to arrest him, would that now become less likely in the short term, or would their process continue regardless of what Thames Valley Police have done this morning?
The process will continue regardless.
Will it?
It may well be that when you have a significant number of operations where you've got other forces involved,
yes,
then you may well have officers waiting to speak to individuals at the same time, more or less.
Yeah.
So you can actually have that happen, or they can decide to either rearrest at a later date or warn somebody in to be interviewed by other officers.
So, I mean, among the unknown unknowns or the known unknowns, that is probably something that we may be looking out for later in the day or in the over the weekend as this case unfolds. Sue Sim, thank you so much for your time, particularly as I say, because you've clearly got quite a lot going on. On the other end of the phone line, former Chief Constable of Northumbria Police. 10:58 is the time. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where if, as again, of all the things I'm going to say a million times today, if you are just joining us, you will be, well, it will be news to you that the police have arrested Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, which is the name that the former Duke of York currently goes by. I love it when you send me a message suggesting questions that I should have asked when I've already said goodbye to the guest. Well done, Dave. Is it Daniel? Can you ask whether he would have known beforehand that he was going to be arrested? Well, listen, I doubt it, mate, would be the very short answer to that question. But it is something that perhaps Andy Hughes, our crime correspondent, will be able to help us with. Andy's story still appearing in much of the coverage of the, well, I can't say today's developments, because the story broke pretty much at 10 a.m. this morning that Andrew Windsor was under arrest. But of course, part of these ongoing multiple investigations include the story that Andy Hughes broke on this radio station earlier in the week about close protection officers allegedly going a little bit native, turning a blind eye to some of the events that they may have witnessed while providing close protection to Andrew Windsor. And Andy Hughes will be joining me in the studio after the very latest news headlines. No prizes for guessing which story will be leading them. Just again, to keep you up to speed with things, if you are just joining us, this situation is too delicate and too legally sensitive for me to run the risk of throwing open the phone lines. Listen, we're taking enough of a risk by letting me speak uninterrupted without actually opening up the phone lines.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 11 o'clock, the former Prince Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has been arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office. It follows revelations about his ties with the late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. LBC's reporter Joseph Draper is following developments.
Andrew Mountbatten Windsor arrested early this morning on suspicion of misconduct in public office. He is currently in police custody. We don't know where. We believe he was arrested at his Sandringham residence after the releases, of course, of pages of files related to his relationship with the paedophile financier Jeffrey Epstein. And we think this arrest is related to allegations that he essentially, as trade envoy to the UK, passed confidential sensitive financial information to Epstein.
Barrister Chris Dorr, KC, has told LBC's James O'Brien misconduct in a public office is a broad term.
It's broken down into four elements, and they are these. First of all, that the defendant must be a public officer acting as such. Now, that, in this case, is not to me entirely clear, but the police must be satisfied that he is a public or was a public officer. Secondly, they willfully neglect to perform a duty or willfully misconduct themselves in that public office. So that's the second element. And the third element is that that misconduct must be an abuse of the public's trust in them as an office holder. And finally, the conduct must be serious enough to deserve criminal punishment.
Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has always strongly denied any allegations of wrongdoing in connection with Epstein. Stay with LBC for the very latest. The Foreign Secretary is promising to relentlessly pursue the case of a British couple jailed in Iran for 10 years. Lindsay and Craig Foreman were on a motorbike trip when they were detained last year. They've always denied spying charges. It's understood the government is planning a major redesign of special educational needs support in England. Leaked proposals suggest children's care plans will be reassessed when they move from primary to secondary school. Full details of the reforms are expected next week. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 75 at 10,610. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.14. LBC weather, a dry and dull day for most. Some patchy rain will return to the northwest later, a high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
3 minutes after 11 is the time. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. It is not the most important issue before us this morning, but Jack has been in touch to point out that if there is no mystery hour today, that will mean we have had just one in the last 4 weeks. That is the kind of thing that you should be writing letters to the newspapers about. Andy Hughes is here, LBC's crime correspondent, who has been, across all of these stories, these various investigations, for a lot longer than the rest of us, and who, of course, was himself leading the news agenda earlier this week with the interview with the former Metropolitan Police close protection officer, suggesting that some of his former colleagues in that unit may have been somewhat remiss in their duties when accompanying Andrew Windsor on trips to Jeffrey Epstein's island. And that story, such was its impact, is still contained within the coverage this morning of the 8th police force joining the investigation into the Epstein files. West Midlands police last night becoming the 8th force to announce it was assessing information from the US Department of Justice's mass release of files related to the paedophile financier Jeffrey Epstein. And Andy joins us now. To begin with some listener questions, would he have had any inkling that they were on their way to Sandringham this morning?
Definitely not. No, that's not how it works. Basically, what the process has been is that when these latest revelations in the Epstein files came out earlier this month, Thames Valley Police announced that they were looking into allegations of misconduct in public office. Now, they can't just use the evidence posted on the DOJ site. What needs to happen is Thames Valley Police will assign a senior team of detectives. They will then contact the Crown Prosecution Service. They will then set out a case to say that Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has a case to answer. If the CPS feels that he does, the CPS will then write to the Department of Justice, and then they will ask for the actual email servers, the actual emails, not none of the redacted stuff that you saw. So
they'll ask the Department of Justice.
The Department of Justice, and it's up to the Department of Justice if they give it or not. And certainly it was not guaranteed.
But we presume they did.
Presume we did, given where we got to today. So these emails would have been given to Thames Valley Police. They would have been assessed. This then would have gone to the detective unit. The detective unit would have then gone to the CPS and said, do we have enough to make an arrest? Now, what we saw this morning was a convoy of 5 4x4 vehicles from Thames Valley Police, containing 8 detectives, I'm told. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has been placed under arrest, and now a very extensive search will be done at that property and another property. Mm-hmm. And really what they're looking for are electronic devices, and they want to get to the actual email servers that Andrew Mountbatten Windsor was using at the time of the alleged offences. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor will be questioned by detectives. They will have initially 24 hours to make a decision whether to charge or to bail. In cases like this, I don't want to make any assumptions about this specific case, but cases like this, it is very, very normal for a suspect to be brought in for questioning, initially questioned, but really the main purpose of this stage of the investigation is to gather evidence at a search. So It would be very normal for the detectives to question Andrew, gather the electronic devices, also look for any hard copies and any evidence. This will then be assessed and a suspect to be bailed.
So it'd be traditionally, for want of a better word, you'd be looking at 12 or 24 hours in custody, although I think with extensions that senior police officers and magistrates' courts can provide.
Yeah,
up to 96.
A senior officer can ask for another 12 hours, so that takes it up to 36. And then after that, they would have to then go to a magistrate's court to request. But really, that is only done for serious murder or terrorism cases.
Okay. And he will be in a, for want again of a better phrase, he'll be in a bog standard cell.
Yeah, he'll be booked in at the custody suite. He'll be told what the charges he has to answer are for. He will have legal representation, and now, today, the process of police interviews by detectives will be underway.
So there could be a serial shoplifter in the cell next door, as we speak. Well, not quite, because he probably hasn't reached the custody suite yet. Well, but what I mean is, I know that American media is asking this question, and you can understand why, even though it might reach British ears as a little bit stupid. I suspect some people listening to this will wonder whether there is special status in place. I mean, members of the royal family famously have their own toilet at the Royal Albert Hall. He will not be receiving any status.
No, it'll be treated like any other suspect.
Yeah. Would there, again, just passing on to you questions that people have sent in to me, the identity or the make and the size of the cars that were used was no indication of what was going on this morning.
No, not really.
You'd expect that unit to use those sort of Range Rovers anyway.
Well, exactly, and given where this property is, it just means that, the clue is they're 4x4, so they don't want to get stuck in the mud on the way.
Would he have been in handcuffs, do you think?
No, I assume not. I assume not. I mean, even when we saw, it was a couple of weeks ago when we saw detectives arrive on the doorstep of Peter Mandelson. Peter Mandelson wasn't arrested, but really the intention was exactly the same, to search the property for electronic devices and hard copies. That is the intention of the detectives. Yes, Peter Mandelson wasn't arrested, but Thames Valley Police have arrested Andrew Mountbatten Windsor.
A few people preempting what you just told us, and again, we don't know for sure, but in normal circumstances, this permission would not be given unless the CPS had seen the original documentation upon which the allegations are made, and that would be in the possession of the Department of Justice.
Yes, so the process, and this will be happening in the case of Peter Mandelson as well, who was also accused of very similar offences of misconduct in public office. Detectives need hard copies. They need the actual email servers. They can't just go on what is posted on the DOJ. Yeah, and also a lot of these documents have been redacted. So the purpose of... But, and also, in an investigation like this, ideally, a team of detectives will want not only the Jeffrey Epstein's server, but also the other suspect's server as well, so that it could be irrefutable.
Richard actually pointing out Fox News have indeed been asking this morning whether he will enjoy any form of immunity. So, albeit that they don't necessarily broadcast for the brightest of sparks, it is a valid question. I can answer the next one. Why do we say strongly denied instead of just denied? No reason, really.
No.
It's just, I don't know, we've got 3 hours to fill. I'm going to say strongly a lot of times in the course of this morning. But there is no particular reason for that. He does continue to deny all of the allegations that are put to him, up to and including the one over which he has been arrested this morning. To knit together some of those issues regarding status, I think I know the answer to this, at least I hope I know the answer to this. The King will be as surprised by events this morning as we are.
Yeah, the King wouldn't have been told. Why would he? This is a police matter. The only people who would have known about this are the team of detectives executing this. I mean, it's certain that this team would have been operating in secret, given the high profile of the case. But the Crown Prosecution would have known.
And again, an arrest is not an indication of guilt. And as you have reminded us, these moments are usually end with a release, albeit that the authorities have taken advantage of the opportunity to search premises. And presumably, I mean, too vague and too early to speculate on what any punishment range may be in the event of these allegations being proven. So there are many, many reasons why speculation is not only to be discouraged, but is actually measurably dangerous. How do forces... I asked Sue Sim this, but you've got more police officers in your contacts book than anybody, Andy. How do they divvy it up at a time like this? If you've got 8 forces pursuing the same suspect, how do they decide who gets to go first or who gets to break cover?
I mean, the truth is they act independently.
Right.
I know from my sources at the Met, they were stunned as I was. They didn't even know.
But the chief constable probably knew.
Well, who knows? My sources who look into that, they weren't aware. And I think there was a lot of phone calls being made this morning at a lot of police forces to try and establish what was happening.
And I suppose it's feasible, given that, and I stress again, there are 8 forces, 7 others alongside the Thames Valley Force, who are conducting investigations. The National Crime Agency has a form of supervision, supporting police officers, but so that they could carry full and independent assessments of anything relevant in the millions of files. It's not beyond reasonable doubt that he is released by one force and shortly afterwards arrested by another.
That could happen. I mean, there are this. This offence that he's been arrested for is misconduct in public office. Now, there's many boxes to tick to cross the threshold for a conviction. But really, the main sticking point is, did the suspect intend to cause harm?
Yeah.
Did the or was it for gain? And really, I mean, listen, the actual... you could get up to life imprisonment for this offence, but realistically, you're not going to, because that would require an act of treason for an offence that of this nature.
It's just insane.
If a suspect is convicted, they're going to be looking at around 4 to 7 years in jail.
And we sit here waiting for more pennies to drop or more details to emerge, with absolutely no guarantee, of course, that they will, either on the clock while I'm on the air, while I'm in the studio, or indeed any of my colleagues later today. People are fascinated by the finer detail, by the trivia, I think. No one would mind me saying. Would he have been fingerprinted when he arrived at the custody
station? Yeah. Everything, DNA taken, mouth swabs. This, every suspect who comes into a police station, the process is the same. You are led to the custody suite. A custody sergeant will then say to the suspect, you have, or it will say to the arresting officer, what has this suspect been arrested for and what are the allegations? They're read their rights again in the custody suite.
Yeah.
And then they will be taken away to a police cell.
Have his shoelaces taken out of his shoes.
Everything. And then all the questions, how are you feeling? Do you want to commit harm to yourself? All these questions that have to be read to a suspect. He will then be led to a police cell where he could speak to his legal representation before any police interviews. And the police don't have to tell, and often don't, for obvious reasons, don't have to tell the lawyer what the specifics of the allegations. It's very normal for detectives to reveal, it's like a drip feed of information. To reveal what they have and the reasons for the arrest.
And the passport would be, if he's released without charge.
Well, that will depend on the bailing conditions.
Right.
So normally in a case which is indictable, which this one is, meaning you can go to prison for it if found convicted. One of the normal bail conditions is that you have to submit your passport so you can't leave the country.
Well, we have you, Andy, and a conversation we probably would have been having on the programme even without this morning's extraordinary developments. But your story earlier in the week with the former senior Met Protection officer telling you that Andrew's protection team had travelled with him to Epstein's Island on at least 2 occasions, including once on Epstein's private jet, and your sources' fears that while no wrongdoing had been identified, the Met said already, the fear that your source expressed was that perhaps a blind eye had been turned, or that officers had gone native. The detail regarding the signet ring, I thought, was absolutely fascinating. Yeah. That's being escalated now as well.
So the Met Police are now saying that they're encouraging any former officers with any further information to come forward. They're saying that initial inquiries into these specific allegations have begun so we can establish the facts. They also said it would be inappropriate for us to comment. This also includes any misconduct or criminal matters.
And the sentence or paragraph that appears in various forms in all of the coverage continues to boggle the mind, but I'm going to read the one that the Times has published this morning. Andrew has denied wrongdoing and said he did not remember meeting Dufresne, but paid a £12 million settlement to her in 2022. It's 11:17.
This is LBC.
At TfL, we're helping make roads safer.
We're continuing to roll out lower speed limits because 20 miles per hour roads have already seen 24% fewer collisions causing death or serious injury. We're also improving junctions to help keep you safe and improving visibility for our bus drivers with new wing mirror cameras. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Comparison of collisions data before and after implementation of 20 miles per hour speed limit.
Whether you still own it or not, if you had a diesel car built between 2009 and 2020, you could be entitled to compensation. Checking takes minutes at jointheclaim.com, and if successful, compensation could be worth thousands. Diesel emissions claims are still open for Ford, Nissan, Renault, Mercedes, BMW and Jaguar Land Rover. Don't miss out. Join millions of drivers across the UK. Check your vehicle now at jointheclaim.com.
Join the claim!
You know, people ask me, what's my good place? It's in the garden, playing football with my girls. It's also knowing that because my pension is with PensionBee, I get a beekeeper, a UK-based account manager for support should I need it.
You're not very good, Daddy.
At PensionBee, we believe that when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. Download the app or go to pensionbee.com and be pension confident when investing your capital is at risk.
Music, news, celebrities, socials, entertainment, podcasts, video.
The world of media and entertainment is a world we all turn to every second that we can. And university isn't for everyone. So if you're leaving school, take a look at joining Global Academy in year 14 to take a unique course in creative enterprise and kickstart your media career. Get industry experience, develop your entrepreneurial skills, and it's free. Apply now at globalacademy.com.
James O'Brien on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
It is 11:19. You are listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where not for the first time I find myself mindful of the people who've just got in from a long run or possibly finished a night shift or have not had any signal on their phone and now find themselves tuning in to the news for the first time today to discover, wait for it, that Andrew Windsor has been arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office. As we speak, police are searching properties in both Berkshire and Norfolk, which I don't think you need to be Sherlock Holmes to work out will be Sandringham and Windsor, the Sandringham estate and the Windsor estate. And I am thinking of the person who's just tuned in because Tim was one of those people not long ago. I literally just dropped a length of timber on the source button, turning the radio to LBC as I heard you describing the news about the arrest. And Anthony writes, I am literally that person who just turned on and wondered what I had missed. And the weird thing is that you've missed everything and nothing, which is the nature of these moments with regard to breaking news on rolling stations like this one. Another listener puts it better than I can. This is the best non-phone-in phone-in I've ever heard. An object lesson in walking on eggshells. Well done to all involved. It's important, and we can't talk about anything else. It would be ridiculous to do so, but neither can we take calls, and neither are we in possession of any more information, really, than we had at 10 o'clock this morning. None of which is designed to put any pressure on Anne Gripper, who joins me now, the former host of the Mirror's Royal podcast, Pod Save the King. And I suppose we can back up a bit, Anne, and wonder what we know about how much, we can't really say damage, but how much, yeah, we can say reputational concern the royal family has suffered or registered before the events of this morning regarding Andrew's association and emerging details of his friendship with the paedophile Jeffrey Epstein.
So I was host of Pod Save the King for 8 years, and it was the story that just kept on coming back each time. I think the royal family hoped it had gone away. There would be something new emerging about then Prince Andrew, now Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's relationship with the paedophile financier Jeffrey Epstein. At that stage, it was very much about the company he had chosen to keep and what had happened there, and also how he addressed those concerns in that extraordinary Newsnight interview back in 2019. You know, so extraordinary, it's been turned into a couple of TV dramas. It forced him to step back from public life. And it's worth remembering that that happened when the late Queen was still alive. It would have been very difficult for her. Prince Andrew was a great perceived as her favourite son. Mm. And for a long time, probably for the wider public, people thought he was somebody who had actually done something. He'd gone to the Falklands, been in the war, been part of, one of our heroic boys fighting for his mother, for Queen and country. And he is a very proud man. His reputation matters deeply to him. And, you know, I guess everybody saw that really in the 2019 interview, where he failed to grasp quite what a big deal it was.
Yes. I mean, you mentioned the interview quite rightly. I should probably have mentioned previously that Emily will be joining us in about 20 minutes' time. Emily Maitlis, who, of course, conducted that interview with Andrew Windsor, which, I mean, it's played a huge role in the profile that the story has received. But, in fact, in terms of this morning's arrest, it is only the latest documents that have prompted the CPS to make the decision that they've made. How successfully, Anne, do you think, and, you know, they would never say so publicly, but clearly behind closed doors, this is priority numero uno for Buckingham Palace, pretty much from the moment Charles became king. How successfully have they separated themselves from the scandal surrounding the king's oldest brother?
They have tried very, very hard. I mean, it took them a long time to get him out of his falling apart mansion at Royal Lodge. They finally succeeded in that earlier this year. He's taken up residence at Wood Farm, hence the two addresses that are now being looked at. That's where his late father, Prince Philip, saw out his latter days at Wood Farm. The statement that came out in October, where it was formally made that he was going to be Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. Mm. Obviously, a week later, they had to add a hyphen to it because apparently that was very important. But to remove his title of prince and all of his titles and his role. I mean, he had attempted to remain a part of the family. Ultimately, he is the king's brother. He is the future king's uncle. That can't be changed. But he never really seemed to accept that they are a unique family. They are in the public eye. You saw a number of occasions that he was still invited to family occasions, for Easter and Christmas. For a long time, he was going to the Garter Day ceremony, which did not please the public one bit. You heard boos, I think, on occasion, and that did step down. But we saw him attempting to engage Prince William in conversation at the Duchess of Kent's funeral. William gave him very much the cold shoulder. What are you doing trying to speak to me here in public? And it's, I think, probably William, even more than Charles, has been very keen to put this to bed and have it dealt with. Ideally, they must have been wishing they could have done it even further ago. October is not all that long ago to have put the distance between him being a prince and what's happened today.
Indeed. I mean, it better late than never becomes a fairly scant defence, the bigger the allegations that Andrew is facing become, albeit that, of course, they weren't to know what was going to emerge in the Epstein files. There was already plenty in the public sphere that many would argue have prompted rather swifter action from the palace. Charles, I think, feels quite did feel quite protective towards Andrew, while, as you tell us, and I've heard that William has rather less patience for his uncle than Charles does for his brother. But the more that emerges, the more furious and frustrated and let down the other members of the royal family are going to feel.
Absolutely. Sarah Ferguson had also fairly successfully rehabilitated herself.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about her.
She was quite, popular, she's got a podcast, an author, back in the fold with the royal family with Christmas and that kind of thing. And we saw those extraordinary emails come out recently talking about very inappropriately about what her daughters had been up to when she's arranging to go and visit Jeffrey Epstein. So Epstein has very much been the downfall of the House of York.
And of York, we stress, not Windsor, although that is a question that I think people could be forgiven for asking this morning. We probably won't start answering it until more details have emerged and more actual fact have been established. Do we have any idea, final question, Anne, do we have any idea on what it's done to public opinion, public feeling with regards to the monarchy in general, as opposed to with Andrew in particular?
I think it's clear that people are willing to challenge the monarchy much more publicly. We're not used to seeing, you know, even sort of, I guess, normal journalistic type questions being put to the royal family at an occasion. You know, they're there for an event, they're doing that, doing the handshakes, taking the flowers. That is not about engaging in broader conversation like a politician would. They're there to announce something, but they get questioned about whatever the match of the day is. It's not. But we've seen Prince Edward having to address things. We saw the statement from Prince William before his recent visit in the Middle East. And then there was, you know, just a normal walkabout. King Charles is walking about, and there was a heckler in the crowd with big sighs from a lot of people who just wanted to be there to enjoy seeing the king come to visit. But that is going to be what is going to be happening for some time to come, I suspect.
It reaches into every aspect of their activities for as long as the story remains live and large. And it is larger this morning than it has ever been. Anne, thank you. Anne Gripper, the former host of the Mirror's Royal podcast, Pod Save the King. Many of you pointing out the potential irony of the Crown versus Andrew Mountbatten Windsor if charges were to be brought and pursued. Of course, there is absolutely no relationship. I mean, you can't get charged unless you've been arrested, but being arrested provides very, very little, if any, indication of whether charges are likely to follow. They are certainly not guaranteed to do so, but other wags in my inbox this morning, pointing out that the Crown Estate how can we put this, territory upon which, with which Andrew is very familiar. It's coming up to 11:30. You are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Sarah Ferguson, who Anne Gripper referred to a moment ago, has, I think, seen all of her charity and commercial associations curtailed, either by herself or by the partners in those spaces. Some confusion over where she was going to reside. And their daughters, the Princesses Eugenie and Beatrice, retain their titles. So much here that speaks to the deference of the ages. Before I realised I wasn't going to be able to take any calls this morning, I was reflecting at 10 o'clock upon the very simple fact that the pyramid of our population has a relatively small number of people at the very pinnacle. And it is ridiculous, and it is hideously unfair, and it entrenches inequality and subservience, deference and forelock tugging into almost every level of our society. Whether you're immune to it or not doesn't matter. If everybody else is at it, then it affects the life that you lead. And I'm still slightly nonplussed by the fact that Andrew, to be arrested for misconduct in public office, to be accused of misconduct in public office, involves, as Chris Dorr explained to us earlier, four criteria, one of which that he is a public officer and he must have been believed by the CPS to have a case to answer with regard to the abuse of public trust. How many members of the public knew that this bloke was not only on the proverbial payroll or the public payroll, but was also somehow a vessel of our trust? He got the job solely and exclusively because of an accident of birth. And yet here we are reflecting upon the consequences of promoting people to high positions with no qualifications whatsoever. 11:31 is the time. Dominic Ellis has your headlines.
Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has been arrested on the suspicion of misconduct in public office. He's been facing allegations that he shared documents with Jeffrey Epstein when he was a UK trade envoy. Vehicles believed to be police cars were seen arriving this morning at the Sandringham estate where Andrew now lives. Today is the former prince's 66th birthday. LBC's crime correspondent Andy Hughes has more details.
Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has been placed under arrest, and now a very extensive search will be done at that property and another property. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor will be questioned by detectives. They will have initially 24 hours to make a decision whether to charge or to bail.
Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has always strongly denied any allegations of wrongdoing in connection with Epstein. Stay with LBC for the very latest. LBC weather, a dry and dull day for most. Patchy rain returning for the northwest later, a high of 10 degrees.
This is LBC.
At TfL, we're opening up more of London for everyone with step-free access. We're continuing to improve accessibility at many of our stations, and now over 200 stations and counting have step-free access, including the entire Elizabeth Line, DLR and all tram stops. That is how we're making the greener way to travel more accessible to all. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Greener than total estimated petrol and diesel car emissions.
Most cars are designed for the road. The Mazda CX-30 is designed for you. Our stylish and compact SUV is available with 0% APR when ordered before the 31st of March. Mazda, crafted with Japanese soul. Search Mazda. Available on PCP when financed by Mazda Financial Services by the 30th of June 26. Indemnities may be required. Terms apply. See website.
The Hillary sale ends soon. So get window wise and grab these amazing offers while you still can. Like up to 50% off hundreds of made-to-measure blinds, curtains and shutters. Plus, grab £50 off your electric blind order and conveniently control your blinds for less. And don't forget, with Hillary's, measuring and fitting is always included. So get window wise and book your free in-home appointment today at hillarys.co.uk. But hurry, the Hillary sale ends on the 9th of March. Conditions apply.
At ulisprosperity.com, you buy the car and we pay you up to £600 per month in rental income. For conditions, visit ulisprosperity.com.
If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, what you thought you were getting may not be what you ended up with. From unexpected site fee increases, running costs, a huge depreciation in value, many owners feel they've been missold. If you think this might be you, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive the compensation you're entitled to. Text ASSIST to 78900 to find out more. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Radio turns miles into memories. From sing-alongs with the family, road tripping with your friends, or continuing that conversation right into work. In-car entertainment is getting better and better, allowing you to create more memories than ever before. So make sure your next car suits all your radio needs.
James O'Brien on LBC. Listen on your smart speaker. Just say, play LBC.
11:34 is the time. If you are just joining us, it is an extraordinary day for news. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has been arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office, linked, we believe, to the contents of the so-called Epstein files released in the last month, which appear to show contact between him or his office and the dead paedophile, that involved disclosure of information that was at the very least sensitive and quite possibly secret. But we will await more details on that. And as Andy Hughes has reminded us repeatedly, everything you've seen is relatively meaningless. Everything you've seen on a screen or everything you've seen on a printout or every redacted document that you and I have seen would not be enough for the CPS to make the decision to ask for or pursue this arrest. They would, we think, and again, I'm not using the word unprecedented, an unprecedented number of times by coincidence this morning, we would presume that they'd have to go to source and see the actual servers that the Department of Justice in the United States of America are in possession of. Stephen Roberts is a former Deputy Assistant Commissioner at the Metropolitan Police and a former Director of Professional Standards, and he joins me now. We're fairly clear, Stephen, but we'll double check with someone who definitely knows that there'll be no status-related behaviour going on here, no special treatment. Andrew Windsor will arrive at a custody suite, if he hasn't already, and be treated like anybody else.
That certainly should be the case. Everybody is equal before the law. That's the basic principle. One would hope that there are no special privileges given. One would equally hope that he is not treated less well and less respectfully than any prisoner should be treated.
Yes, that's a very important point. Drawing, I presume, more on your time as a Deputy Assistant Commissioner than at other points in your career, how do forces, because there's eight now on the cases plural, eight different forces with questions to ask, how will it have been decided that Thames Valley Police went first, as it were, did what they did today?
It will have been, I would hope, a matter of discussion between the various forces that were involved. I would expect that a single chief officer would be appointed to oversee all of these investigations, not in the sense of giving instructions to the investigators, but simply to make sure that people aren't treading on other investigations, any little conflicts about well, no, this is our evidence. Yes. No, it's our evidence. To resolve those sort of things, because everybody is actually on the same side, the side of justice. And it can become very complicated indeed. As I think you were saying just a few moments ago, there is a point where, in order to prove the provenance of some of these documents, which will be central evidence in any future cases, and not just against Mr. Mountbatten Windsor,
of course,
they will have to go back to the originals of the files with the Department of Justice in America, proving the provenance of each and every relevant email, transcript, whatever. It's going to be a huge job. This is not something that's going to take a few days or even a few weeks. We're talking months and years here. It will be extremely complicated.
Of course. A lot of my listeners want to know, and I don't know why, Stephen. They're a weird bunch at the best of times, but they're very keen to know whether an arrest of this nature automatically places any travel restrictions on an individual.
No, it doesn't. Somebody can be placed on police bail whilst under investigation, or they can be taken before a court, and a court could impose bail conditions, but that's very unusual. That only happens after charge.
Right.
But particularly in this case, there's really no... I can see no justification at the moment why there will be any restriction on travel, and there certainly isn't an automatic one.
To return briefly to the question of status, there wouldn't have been a requirement to inform anybody about what was planned this morning in Norfolk. I mean, it's odd because the King, I believe, is the only person in the country who is immune from prosecution, but he wouldn't get a nod that they were about to knock on his brother's door.
I would not expect the King to get a nod.
Right.
Simply because to do so, if anything went wrong in the operation, it would place him in a very difficult position indeed.
Mm.
What actually happened? Well, neither you nor I nor any of your listeners will know. but had I been had some sort of oversight of this operation, I think I would have wanted to save the King the embarrassment of prior warning.
And who would have been, this is me indulging my own fascination with the trivia, if you like. Who would have, how would it have been decided which officer read and Mr. Windsor his rights?
The arresting officer will read, won't read it. He should be able to recite it. It's a matter of professional competence.
Yeah, well, he might be a bit nervous this morning.
He might be a bit nervous. Might have been a bit nervous this morning, yes. It'll go down in his memoirs, I would imagine.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's the arresting officer cautions. And then if there's any question later on of something particular being found that is, for the sake of argument, particularly incriminating, it's quite likely that the officer who found it or another officer would repeat that caution just to be absolutely certain, if this case were ever to come to court, that whatever the person under arrest said would be admissible in court. So there's no harm in giving lots of cautions.
Yes.
It's always the same with the same wording. There is a lot of harm in not giving sufficient cautions.
Yes, of course. 11:41 is the time. And I stress, not because of anything you've said, but just because I'm doing it periodically throughout the programme this morning, that Andrew Mountbatten Windsor continues to deny all wrongdoing. And there is no, as Thames Valley Police have reminded us repeatedly, the fact of the arrest has no bearing upon the validity or otherwise of the allegations at this point. While I have you, just to reiterate something that I think we've already established, 12 or 24 hours would be the normal period of custody, but with the intervention of a senior police officer in the first instance and a magistrate, an appeal to a magistrate's course in the second, suspects can be held for longer than that in some cases.
In some cases, they can be. In a case like this, it would be very unusual to have anything more than essentially a preliminary interview and then for the person to be released under investigation. The time clock of how long somebody has spent in custody is cumulative. So if you keep hold of somebody for many hours after the initial arrest, you have fewer hours before they have to be taken before a court later on. And in a complex investigation like this, you almost want to husband those hours because there will be a lot of very complicated questions to be asked once the documentary evidence has been really looked at in detail by the investigators and assessed, and they've formulated what their interrogation strategy will be.
Yes. Looking at one of the other big jobs on your CV, former director of professional standards, it occurs to me that more likely to see a police officer arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office than a member of the royal family.
Oh, indeed. And we shouldn't forget, this is a very difficult offence to prove. Merely saying, oh, well, somebody has done something thoroughly disreputable in spite of holding public office, it takes a lot more than that to convict them of misconduct in public office. The offence is a common law offence. It was invented, well, nearly 250 years ago now, and judges over the years have refined what the ingredients are that have to be proved in order to convict somebody of this offence. So it's very complicated what you have to prove.
Because it's so hard to define things like public trust. I mean, you couldn't look that up in a dictionary. It would be in the. Would it be a judge or a jury that would sit on a case like this normally? If it were ever to reach court, speaking very, very vaguely about all manner of, misconduct in public office cases.
Were it to reach court, it would be a judge and jury.
Right.
In the Crown Court, because
it's common law.
Yeah, it's common law, and potentially it carries a life sentence, so it's a very serious offence. But things like serious harm to public credibility.
Right.
They're questions of fact. For the jury, the judge will explain to a jury what the tests are that they need to apply. But essentially, at the end of the day, it is down to the jury to say, well, has this actually seriously damaged public trust or hasn't it? And it is a common sense question.
Mm. No, it's fascinating. Thank you. I'm glad I asked you that. Thank you very much indeed, Stephen Roberts, former Deputy Assistant Commissioner at the Met between 2003 and 2009, and a former Director of Professional Standards as well. The time is approaching 11:45. I mean, it is quite a moment, isn't it, for the journalist who essentially lit the blue touch paper to many of the events that have followed. I think that this morning's arrest would have occurred even without that extraordinary Newsnight interview, because it is the documents emerging most recently that appear to have informed this arrest of Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor. And yes, if you just turned on your radio, you did hear me correctly. And as far as we're aware, there is only one, and it is that one that we are talking about. But that journalist, Emily Maitlis, joins me after this.
Weekdays from 7 a.m.
This is Taxation Without Representation.
Straight to the point.
You get giddy with all these U-turns.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Lucky he gets up in the morning, really, isn't it?
Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store. LBC.
Shine Night Walk London is a 10K, half marathon or full marathon supported walk around the city at night on the 19th of September to raise vital money for Cancer Research UK. It's also
everyone walking with all their colours, twinkling away.
We can actually see how nice London is. And London is different at night time.
Celebration of life, and it gives hope.
Step towards a brighter future at shinewalk.org today to get 30% off your entry. Together, we are beating cancer. T's and C's apply.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. Holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Things are really heating up in the country's smallest house.
Dad! Squealed Mia Mouse.
We could save around £100 by setting the boiler flow temperature to 60 degrees.
And turning radiators down in rooms we don't use.
Interrupted Mo.
Yes, Mo.
Turn them down, not off, said Mia.
Plus finding and blocking drafts,
said Mo.
Should save enough to increase our allowance.
A little saves a lot. You could save around £100 a year off your energy bills with three tips at gov.uk/clean energy.
Amazon offers term time working to their employees, like Anton, who's home to look after his daughters during their holidays.
Hello!
To him, This is the best sound in the world. Actually, maybe that's the best sound of all. Now that's term time working. Offered at Amazon. 10 weeks off guaranteed per year. Mix of paid holiday and unpaid time off. Conditions apply.
Thinking of buying a new electric car? It can be tough to know where to start. Luckily, the experts have done the work for you. The new Smart Hashtag 5 has just been announced as What Car's best family electric SUV of the year. And did we mention that the Smart Hashtag 1 and Hashtag 3 are also previous What Car award winners? Work smart, not hard. Test drive Smart's award-winning EV range at smart.com.
Leading Britain's conversation, LBC, with James O'Brien.
11:48 is the time. You are listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where we continue to process the biggest news story of the moment, the arrest earlier this morning at the Sandringham estate in Norfolk, the King's estate in Norfolk, of his oldest brother, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, as he currently calls himself, having been stripped of all of his pomp and ceremony, titles and, in a sense, names. A few people already this morning have mentioned that Newsnight interview conducted by my learned friend Emily Maitlis, which continues to have extraordinary ramifications and ripples. But to be clear, Emily, that this is about the Epstein files. I mean, the sense of a blue touch paper being lit back when you sat down with the then Duke of Windsor is impossible to shake. But the story now is moving into entirely different territory.
Honestly, I think I'm the last person to come to this bit of news. I walked out of a physiotherapy appointment for my back and just suddenly realised what had happened. So, I mean, without getting too sort of therapeutic about it, I'm actually just trying to take all this in as we speak. And I keep thinking of that, it's Ernest Hemingway, that quote, which is gradually and then suddenly. You know, part of my brain thinks that interview was 6 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, it was a long time ago. So in a way, we've all kind of been, you know, we've kind of been at the point of expecting something to happen. But I think what we are learning is actually how critical the release of the Epstein files have been to all this, because allegations of sexual abuse, notoriously hard to prove. I mean, isn't that the pain that, you know, so many of the victims have had right the way through, that they have not been believed, or they've not been listened to, or they've literally been called liars, and they've been called frauds, and they've been called money grabbers. And I guess there is an irony, in a way, isn't there, that this has all happened so quickly in the last 3 weeks because of what looks to be, and obviously, you know, that all we know is what is alleged, it looks to be an email chain that traces, you know, what Andrew Mountbatten Windsor was sending to Epstein involving trade or trade deals or stuff that were basically part of national security.
Well, both big breakthroughs, for want of a better word, perhaps, to do with that, both the Mandelson and the Andrew Mountbatten Windsor story, to do with the alleged passing of information, potentially sensitive information, to the paedophile, not to do with, as you remind us, with the other allegations that surround certainly Andrew Mountbatten Windsor and obviously the dead financier Jeffrey Epstein. And those investigations continue. 8 forces joining the Epstein Files investigation. To sort of nudge you into the arena of opinion and speculation, how significant have the desperate attempts of the White House to downplay, to keep secret, to continue, of course, to misrepresent what is contained within them from Donald Trump himself? How big an obstacle to justice do you think that has been? Or let's say to progress, because we don't know what justice means in the current context.
I would say that there is a sort of trend emerging now, which is every time Trump tries to silence somebody or shut something down, it just becomes bigger.
Mm.
You know, whether it's politicians appearing on the Stephen Colbert show, whether it's the freedom to look at the Epstein files, whether it's the way journalists are talking, the way people, the way universities are teaching. Every time Trump focuses on something in order to shut it down, we sort of turn around and go, hang on, Maybe we should be looking at this a bit more closely. So I think there is definitely an argument that if Trump had not been quite so defensive about this, if he had stuck to his original sort of line, which was, you know, talking to his MAGA base about the importance of getting this all out, J.D. Vance saying there is a network of paedophilia going on, we need to see it all. I think it wouldn't sort of sit so starkly with what has been happening in the last 6 months in the White House. You know, Pam Bondi saying there's nothing to see here, let's talk about the stock market as a case in point.
What do we know about the process of release? And the answer to this may be nothing, but you're a lot more clued up on this than I am. Because this huge tranche of documents, millions of pieces of evidence, potentially, and some of it was redacted, and then people discovered that it had been rather clumsily redacted, and they could run it through programs that would somehow remove the black...
I mean, there are lawsuits going on now. There are lawsuits going on because of the redactions, more seem to be covering up the men involved in the alleged criminality than the women involved who were the victims and the survivors. And so there are lawyers working for the survivors now who say, I don't understand. Like, this is the exact opposite. If you had planned something that would make victims of sexual abuse feel worse and feel their lives were in danger, this is what you would produce. And, I mean, you know, we don't know if there was a calculation going on, but it's not entirely impossible that somebody was doing that to shut them up once again.
Stuff appeared and then disappeared and then appeared again. I mean, there certainly looked to be a finger on various buttons, didn't there? And still.
Well, thought. I mean, I spoke to Sky Roberts, who is Virginia Giuffre's brother, who has been campaigning on her behalf. I mean, even more intensively, clearly, since her death by suicide last April. And one of the things he says is, it's all there. You know, if you want to see the names, you look in the files. The FBI took a deposition from Virginia Roberts, as was. She named 40 men, you know, in those articles. It's all been written down. It's all there. If there was a curiosity, an appetite to actually go and pursue potential criminality, investigate criminality, they could.
Take it back to the personal briefly, if I may. Why do you think you are so gobsmacked by it? Is it because we are not deferential people? Well, ideally, journalists. No journalists are deferential people. But we are British. We did grow up in this country where the royal family is the very pinnacle of the population pyramid, whether you like it or not. It is, you know, something that history books.
It just hasn't happened before, James.
Exactly.
You know, you go back to Charles the First. You know, you go back to a sort of essentially a new era with Charles I, the end of the monarchy, and Oliver Cromwell to find anything sort of remotely similar. Now, I think one of the reasons I'm gobsmacked is because there is something very personal in this as well. And we talk a lot about people's sort of state of mind and health and all the rest of it. And I suppose I do feel... I feel concern, actually, as I'm watching this story unfold. And I suppose that two things can be simultaneously true, that it can have been a long time coming. It can have been, you know, one of the sort of texts I got this morning from a colleague, former colleague, just said, finally. You know, in one way, a lot of us have been expecting this to unfold. But when it does, there is somebody at the centre of it, and it is a father, and there are children, and there is a mental health question. And I suppose that's what's sort of holding me back a bit and saying this is a pretty serious moment. You know, it's a grave moment. It's not a sort of jumping up and down moment.
No, of course not. I mean, for the umpteenth time, but it's important to remind everybody that Andrew Mountbatten Windsor denies all allegations of wrongdoing right across the graph or the spectrum of allegations and accusations that he faces, only one of which is the consequence of today's arrest, the suggestion or the allegation of misconduct in public office. It's one of those things. I've said it to you before, that there are exceptions to every rule. A journalist is never supposed to become part of the story, but that interview that you conducted was so off the charts that is it an albatross around your neck for the rest of your career, or is it a different breed of bird?
I think it's actually sort of, it's nothing to do with me. I mean, I've said this to you before.
I mean,
well, okay, but let's, I think...
I know exactly what you mean. I'm just intrigued.
I mean, I had the chance to sit down to pass on stuff that we had heard from survivors, from one in particular. And so, you know, just to kind of step back from it all, you know as well as I do, the journalist's job is to ask the questions on behalf of the people who don't get to ask those questions, right? You do it every single day. You know, we try and convey that in our reporting. And so I suppose I would have to go back to first principles, which is like, you know, what does this moment feel like for the family of Virginia Giuffre, the children of Virginia Giuffre? What does it feel like? And obviously, he has not, we should say, been arrested on sexual abuse charge at all. But I guess it's really curious, actually, going back to that Sky Roberts interview, I asked him if he felt it was kind of weird that all the focus had been on, you know, the fraud or the alleged, you know, the allegations of
white collar crime.
Exactly, rather than sexual abuse, And, you know, his take was, it's better to have a trail of something going somewhere than nothing at all.
Final question, drawing on your personal encounter with Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, the indignity, I mean, the sheer shock and horror of being arrested, notwithstanding, a man renowned for his pomposity and arrogance, the indignity of being treated like a common or garden suspect, drinking a cup of tea probably out of a polystyrene cup, having his shoelaces removed by the custody officer. That will hit him quite hard, I think.
It's his birthday.
It's also his birthday, as you remind us.
Yeah, you do wonder, don't you? You wonder if there is... Do they still call him... What do they call him? Do they call him
Great
Sir?
Question.
Do they call him Your Royal... I mean, they don't call him Your Royal Highness anymore. Do they call him Andrew? Do they...
Mr. Mountbatten Windsor.
I don't know.
Well, Stephen, the former Deputy Assistant Chief Constable, just called him in the course of our interview 20 minutes ago, just called him Mr. Mountbatten Windsor as if he was talking about any other suspect. And we shouldn't really be surprised by that, but we always will be.
Yeah. The thing that really struck me was a couple of weeks ago when Keir Starmer did that press conference and he called former Lord Mandelson, not even Peter Mandelson, he called him Mandelson, which, you know, in journalistic terms, you don't say Mandelson unless somebody has been, like, convicted, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that's the sort of, that's the sort of the pattern. And I thought it was really striking that that was the term that Starmer used, Keir Starmer, Sir Keir, whatever, used to kind of distance himself at that particular moment from the man he'd just, you know, promoted a year earlier.
No, I haven't checked, but I will be very surprised if Emily and her colleagues on the newsagents don't return to some of this territory in today's...
I thought we might do the Gorton and Denton by-election week out.
A full list of candidates is available at lbc.co.uk. Emily Maitlis, thank you very much indeed. A little more, I think, in the next hour on some of the historic precedents and parallels that Emily just touched upon. And Fraser Knight has the job of hot-footing it, or has had the job this morning of hot-footing it to Windsor to report from one of the scenes. We'll join him as well after this. Emily, thank you.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at midday, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has been arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office. The former prince has been facing allegations that he shared documents with Jeffrey Epstein when he was a trade envoy. Vehicles believed to be police cars were seen arriving at the Sandringham estate this morning, where Andrew now lives. Today is the former Duke of York's 66th birthday. LBC's crime correspondent Andy Hughes is following developments.
What we saw this morning was a convoy of five 4x4 vehicles from Thames Valley Police, containing eight detectives, I'm told. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has been placed under arrest, and now a very extensive search will be done at that property and another property. And really what they're looking for are electronic devices. They want to get to the actual email servers that Andrew Mountbatten Windsor was using at the time of the alleged offences.
Host of the newsagents podcast, Emily Maitlis, interviewed Andrew about his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein in 2019. She told James on LBC the release of the Epstein files appeared to be critical to the speed of police investigations.
This has all happened so quickly in the last 3 weeks because of what looks to be, and obviously, you know, that all we know is what is alleged. It looks to be an email chain that traces, you know, what Andrew Mountbatten Windsor was sending to Epstein involving trade or trade deals or stuff that were basically part of national security.
Well, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has always strongly denied any allegations of wrongdoing in connection with Epstein. Do stay with LBC for the very latest. And one of the story this lunchtime, the Prime Minister has appointed Dame Antonia Romero as Cabinet Secretary and Head of the Civil Service. She replaces Sir Chris Wormald, who resigned last week in the wake of the Lord Mandelson saga. Dame Antonia is the first woman to hold the post in the role's history. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 82 points at 10,603. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.14. LBC weather, a dry and dull day for most. Some patchy rain will return for the northwest later, a high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
This time last year, Hassan was working in sales and spent his evenings gaming. Now, he's working as a prison officer.
You know what's going to happen? It's not worth it. Let's just go in there.
He's tackled cell fires, got through to some of the most challenging prisoners, and helped support their rehabilitation. He's done things he once thought he was never capable of. But he still loves his gaming. An extraordinary job done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
It is 4 minutes after 12. I have before me a statement from His Majesty the King that has been released in the last few moments, and I will read it to you without delay. I have learned with the deepest concern the news about Andrew Mountbatten Windsor and suspicion of misconduct in public office. What now follows is the full, fair and proper process by which this issue is investigated in the appropriate manner and by the appropriate authorities. In this, as I have said before, they have our full and wholehearted support and cooperation. Let me state clearly, the law must take its course. As this process continues, it would not be right for me to comment further on this matter. Meanwhile, my family and I will continue in our duty and service to you all. That concludes a statement from His Majesty the King, released just a few moments ago. And if you felt that either Emily or I were exaggerating the gravity of the moment, the historical importance of this moment, regardless of your feelings about the institution of monarchy, members of the royal family, or any other of the attendant issues, I think both the existence and the tone of that statement from King Charles should have removed any reservations that you may have previously held. 5 minutes after 12 is the time. Let me state clearly, the law must take its course. Fraser Knight has made his way, while we've been on air, to Windsor, where police are currently searching the Royal Lodge. It's hard to keep up, Fraser, but that was the place where he lived until quite recently.
Yeah, it was just a few weeks ago that Andrew left the Windsor estate. He had been living in Royal Lodge, a sprawling 30-bedroom mansion on the estate here, before the King essentially kicked him out and sent him to Sandringham, a private estate, and where he has been in the process of moving to. Now, that is where he was arrested this morning, in Sandringham, and now Thames Valley Police said that they are searching two properties, one that we understand to be in Sandringham at Wood Farm, and the other here in Royal Lodge, just down the road where that house is. There have been reports of police officers there carrying out searches, and that is because now that he has been arrested, those officers have the powers to search and to find devices and look through paperwork to gather more evidence now that a criminal investigation has been opened. of course, this is an arrest that's been made on suspicion of misconduct in a public office, and that relates to the allegations that while he was a UK trade envoy, he had shared sensitive information with Jeffrey Epstein and with other business associates. So the police here, and indeed at Sandringham, will be looking for any evidence that relates to those allegations. Now, as we've been saying throughout this discussion, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has always denied those allegations and any wrongdoing in his links to Jeffrey Epstein. But clearly, over the past few weeks, after the latest tranche of files from the US Department of Justice, they do believe that there is a reasonable suspicion that he may have committed that offence. And that is why they have now opened this criminal investigation. Now, Windsor is always busy with tourists. It's quite an open estate. We have seen recently as well, even after that latest tranche of documents being released, Andrew out riding a horse when he lived here. He's quite open in his activities when he was living on this estate. And as you can probably, take from the statement from the King, they are trying to continue, the royal family, with business as usual, and certainly many tourists here continuing to do the same. But this is a significant moment, a serious moment for the royal family, as we now see one of the properties on the Windsor estate being searched head to toe, really, by police.
Do we know where the King is? I don't know whether this was true or not, but we were all taught as school children that you can tell by the flags. Is he in residence behind you, or is he in Buckingham Palace, or do we not know at the moment?
The flag appears to be up, so he potentially is here. I do understand, however, that the Queen is on a royal engagement. She is out and about this morning, even after this arrest has taken place. So you can see they are trying to continue with that business as usual.
Indeed they are. And as you say, the fingertip search or the forensic search of both properties is underway. And it could take, of course, as all of our guests with relevant experience have been telling us this morning, it could take an extremely long time. But you're there, you're in Windsor. Normally when a royal story is breaking, I don't know quite what you'd call them, the hard core of the royal fan base will make their feelings known, whether in some sort of show of support or just congregating in various places to let their thoughts be known. I don't imagine there's much of that going on today, is there?
Well, the second I got here, as I started setting up, I was approached by some Australian tourists who asked, what is going on? Who are you waiting for? And I said, well, actually, broke the news to them. And she put her hand over her mouth in shock and said, oh my gosh, is that really happening? So, you know, a bit of shock. I have only been here for about 10, 15 minutes and only spoken to that one group so far. But there is certainly from them a sense of shock. And I imagine many other tourists who are here, as they usually are, to take in the glamour of the royal family and the magnificence of the castle behind me. There will be a sense of shock among them that Andrew Mountbatten Windsor is now in police custody, going from that 30-bed mansion just a few weeks ago now to a police cell where there probably won't be any VIP treatment for him, James.
No, well, this is the one question I've asked every single guest so far this morning about. I don't know why I've developed a fascination with polystyrene cups, but absolute consensus so far that he will be treated when he arrives, if he hasn't already, at a custody suite, quite possibly in Kidlington in Oxfordshire, which is the Thames Valley Police HQ. They, of course, the force that arrested him earlier this morning. He will not receive, possibly for the first time in his life, he will receive precisely no special treatment or encounter any behaviour related to the status that he was born into. I think you're heading off to the Royal Lodge after speaking to us, so we will probably catch up with you again later. And the question that really remains for the usual residents of the building behind you is how much of this will bleed upwards, as it were, regardless of whether charges are brought or whether the story ends today with the arrest and no further action. The gravity of the King's statement, the choice of language, the tone, the profundity of this statement all speak to a real fear that Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's travails, and he continues to deny all wrongdoing, will have an effect far beyond just him. Fraser Knight, thank you. Great stuff. And we will, as I say, if not me, then certainly Sheila or Tom later. Catch up with you later. The time is 12 minutes after 12. I think that statement, if you're just joining us, from the King, I will share with you once again. I have learned this release just over 12 minutes ago. I have learned with the deepest concern the news about Andrew Mountbatten Windsor and suspicion of misconduct in public office. What now follows is the full, fair and proper process by which this issue is investigated in the appropriate manner and by the appropriate authorities. In this, as I have said before, they have our full and wholehearted support and cooperation. Let me state clearly, the law must take its course. As this process continues, it would not be right for me to comment further on this matter. Meanwhile, my family and I will continue in our duty and service to you all. And it's signed Charles R, with the R, of course, in these contexts, representing the Latin word for king, Rex. Sounds like I'm auditioning for David Dimbleby's job, doesn't it, at the moment? But this is a very serious moment for Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, for, of course, all of the victims of his close friend Jeffrey Epstein, albeit that there is no movement yet on the investigations into any of the allegations surrounding sexual abuse. I think it's important to be absolutely clear about that, because as soon as you heard this morning that Andrew Mountbatten Windsor had been arrested, your thoughts probably did not go immediately to the phrase misconduct in public office. But that is what he has been arrested for. That is what Thames Valley Police are investigating, even as they and seven more police forces investigate other allegations and accusations as well. And that is what he will be currently questioned about by police officers. I was about to say out loud, Andy Hughes, our crime correspondent, is with me. I was about to say out loud, it's a very long time since I got arrested, but I think that would be indiscreet and possibly unhelpful in the greater scheme of things. But it is, I mean, a custody suite is, most people have seen them on television where they're fairly accurately recreated, aren't they? But they are bleak and bare.
They are indeed. It's just four walls, a bed and a toilet. And they will have a custody officer checking in on them on a regular basis. The process, just to remind everyone where we're at, if you're just tuning in. Shortly, it was around 9 a.m. this morning that we saw five 4x4 vehicles approach an estate in Sandringham. They later released a statement which said, Thames Valley Police has opened an investigation into the offence of misconduct in public office. As part of the investigation, we have today arrested a man in his 60s from Norfolk on suspicion of misconduct in public office and are carrying out searches at addresses in Berkshire and Norfolk. The man remains in police custody at this time. We will not be naming this arrested man as per national guidance. Please also remember that the case is now active, so care should be taken with any publication to avoid being in contempt of court. So the team of detectives, eight detectives, I'm told, arrived at the estate this morning. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor was arrested. He will be taken to a custody suite. It is at that point where the arresting officer will have to tell the custody sergeant what the suspect has been arrested for. In this case, it is misconduct in public office. He will then be asked a range of questions about his health. Does he have any health issues? Mm. Is he thinking about harming himself? These are all read out to every single suspect. He will then be taken to a police cell and given the opportunity to speak to a legal representative before any detectives start interviewing. The police will then have 24 hours to make a decision to charge or release on bail. As I've said before, on cases like this, with them such a complex case, it would be very unusual for the police force to seek more time. The interesting it's worth distinguishing this, James, because quite often what happens in cases like this, and we saw it with Peter Mandelson, where if you are not arrested, police still have the powers to obtain a search warrant to make the search. If you are not arrested, you could then, they have a couple of options. You can either be invited in to be interviewed under caution. However, during that process, If the suspect wishes to, he could just leave at any moment. He doesn't have to do this. Right. But if you are under arrest, you are, by law, you have to attend the interview. So the process of an actual arrest gives police more powers to detain suspects.
Got it.
Yeah. So we'll have to see where this goes over the next 24 hours. But really, the main intention today for police is for search purposes. They will be wanting to search electronic devices, hard copies, anything that relates to the alleged offences.
I've enjoyed passing some of the questions from listeners on to you, but of course it's rather difficult to know precisely what they have listened to when they submit the question. This one, if the police haven't named a suspect, as you just reminded us, how can you report it? This may be a silly question, but I'm interested in the situation, given that a lot of people will be missing Mystery Hour. This hour, we could perhaps indulge ourselves with a couple of... Well, the most obvious answer to that, because you sent the message at 12:17, is that the King's released a statement about it, which makes any confusion surrounding who it is that Thames Valley Police are talking about, I think, disappear immediately. But otherwise, it's just convention. Most newsrooms would rely, and you're a much better journalist than I am, Andy, so correct me if I'm wrong, most journalists would look towards colleagues, most obviously the Press Association or the BBC. The police would be providing information to the former, most certainly, and there comes a point where it is, you know, beyond consensus. It is confirmed that that is what you're talking about, even as the police, for operational reasons, will decline to reveal the actual identity of the suspect. So it's a curious mixture, to answer your question, prior to the release of the statement from the King himself. It's a curious mixture of protocol, precedent, tradition and cooperation. 12:18 is the time.
This is LBC.
All right, resistance up. Let's climb.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, my knee's playing up again.
Have you ever had it looked at?
No, but I've been doing a few stretches.
When my shoulder went, Benenden Health got me expert help, showed me exactly where I was going wrong.
30 seconds, people.
Press play on your health with physiotherapy and much more. All for less than £16 per person per month. Search Benenden Health. Fee review periodically. T's and C's apply. Qualifying periods apply for some services, including physio. UK only. Visit benenden.co.uk.
Tesco Insurance are driving down the cost of motoring with 10% off car insurance. Take out a car insurance policy before the 15th of May 2026 and you'll get 10% off with club card prices. We offer a range of cover options so you can choose the one that's right for you. Save 10% when you buy or renew a car policy with Tesco Insurance. Search Tesco Car Insurance and get a quote direct today. Club card required. Excludes add-ons. T's and C's apply.
Attention dogs, this is not a drill. If your dinner comes in dodgy brown balls or smells suspicious, at best, you deserve to know this. Butternut Box makes fresh dog food with ingredients you'd find in your human's fridge. In fact, some humans have even tasted it. For quality control, obviously. Anyway, let's hope your human was listening. Butternut Box, fresh food, happy dogs. Try Butternut Box today and get 25% off your first two boxes. Offer available online in the UK and Ireland to first-time customers only.
Big motoring world are big on value. But what does that mean for you? Well, we price check our cars every day, so we can give you the best price. Guaranteed. In fact, 95% of our cars are priced below market value. Big Motoring World, we're big on value. See website for nearest store. Visit bigmotoringworld.co.uk or one of our stores for our price promise and terms and conditions.
Leading Britain's conversation, LBC, with James O'Brien.
It is 21 minutes after 12, and you get a flavour of the scale and impact of this story, because I'm now getting requests from foreign media to talk to them about the arrest of Andrew Mountbatten Windsor earlier this morning. Although I have absolutely nothing to tell them or add, but of course that doesn't really matter. I am, in other words, no Simon Marks when it comes to sliding effortlessly into other people's programmes. And Simon Marks joins me now for reasons that should be fairly obvious. But I want to begin with something I put on Blue Sky earlier today, Simon, with regards to news from South Korea. And already people who are missing Mystery Hour will be wondering what on earth news from South Korea has to do with news from Norfolk this morning. But the former leader was found guilty of leading an insurrection in late 2024 that attempted to subvert the constitution and plunged the country into its worst political crisis in decades. This is South Korea's ex-president. And it occurred to me, as I noted earlier this morning, that a lot of countries are currently reminding the United States of America of all the things that the United States of America is supposed to be. And I wonder whether events here this morning, and of course prior to this morning, because Peter Mandelson's career is effectively over and Andrew Mountbatten Windsor is currently in police custody, and yet in the United States of America and in Donald Trump's regime, the rock that was thrown into the pond by the latest tranche of revelations in the so-called Epstein files has, well, the ripples haven't really reached anywhere. Are we showing the United States the way, do you think?
Well, I think it is a pretty extraordinary moment, James. I mean, when a country with an unwritten constitution that does everything sort of by custom and practice and tradition teaches a lesson about accountability for alleged activities to a country that has a much vaunted constitution all written down in black and white that is supposed to contain all of the necessary checks and balances to keep a democracy ticking over. I mean, that's quite a moment here today, and you absolutely are right to make that point about the news from South Korea as well, because when I woke up this morning, at a first glance, yeah. the New York Times news flash about South Korea was just ahead of the news flash about the arrest of Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. And yet down at the White House there over the cornflakes and the bacon and eggs this morning, absolutely no one is wondering about the possibility of unmarked cars from the FBI rolling into the White House driveway so that the President of the United States or any figures within his inner circle and entourage might find themselves helping police here with their inquiries. The President settling in for a very busy day. I'm sure the White House will say something at some point. He may well take to social media about the events befalling Andrew Mountbatten Windsor and let us know what his viewpoints are on those. But look, it is an extraordinary moment when what is a quintessentially American story, the story of Jeffrey yes. Epstein and his unbelievable ability to beguile the wealthy and powerful, bring them into his inner circle, many of them now facing questions about what they knew about his criminal activities. And the only people here on this side of the Atlantic that so far have taken any kind of fall for it are those who have either voluntarily resigned from their multi-million dollar positions at Goldman Sachs, like Barack Obama's former White House counsel, Kathy Rummler, or the man who until yesterday was leading the Hyatt Hotel empire, who stepped down because of revelations about his ties to Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, in terms of criminal activity and the possibility of charges against people, there's absolutely nothing on the horizon here. And there won't be for a good long while, because the White House is reasonably facing allegations that if there are incriminating materials in the possession of a Department of Justice that was only traditionally independent and not constitutionally independent,
yes.
so Donald Trump was able to eviscerate and incinerate its independence, that Department of Justice is going to keep hold of those documents.
Well, I've said it before and I'll say it again. And actually, Emily quoted the Ernest Hemingway line earlier, first gradually, then quickly. And I'm thinking about the incineration that you've just described, the speed with which these checks and balances have been completely, not even undermined, have been completely destroyed. Beyond that, for my listeners here in the UK, where is the story? Where is the Epstein story in both the media agenda, given that much of it is now controlled by allies of Donald Trump, or rather courtiers, billionaire courtiers in the court of Donald Trump? Where is the story in the current affairs agenda and in the public consciousness?
Well, it's certainly a story that is being very, very closely followed here, and that's fueled partly by President Trump's own Make America Great Again supporters, who, of course, were salivating over the release of documents that he promised them would take place on the election campaign trail in 2024. Documents, 3 million of which, despite a law now being on the books requiring their disclosure, the Department of Justice is continuing to hang on to. Yesterday, Kash Patel, the director of the FBI, gave an interview to his former deputy, now back at his podcast, Dan Bongino, in which he unashamedly, I mean proudly, described the fact that President Trump, to all intents and purposes, is the chief law enforcement officer of the United States. It's not Pam Bondi, the Attorney General, not Kash Patel, the FBI Director. He made it abundantly clear that they take direct instructions from him. And when you look at efforts to try and get to the bottom of what Donald Trump's relationship and friendship with Jeffrey Epstein may or may not have been about, we are seeing pleas to the media to do the spade work. Mm-hmm. Congressman Ted Lieu, a prominent Democrat from California, said earlier this month that the Epstein files contain allegations that President Trump raped and threatened to kill children. And he urged the media to go and look into those allegations. Because Congressman Liu knows that it's only going to be the media now that is left to do that work, given that the independence of the Department of Justice has been completely pierced and set aside by the Trump administration. Of course, the media is in pieces here as well. Yeah. CBS, the BBC's media partner in the United States, now a pro-Trump, bending-the-knee organization. The Washington Post, you know, an absolute shadow of its former self as it lumbers towards an inevitable date with bankruptcy, I think it's fair to say. So, look, I mean, you're just not going to find the traditional guardians of constitutional probity here engaged in the actions that would be required in order to prove whether any of those allegations are worthy of criminal investigation.
I mean, we've marked on a few occasions that any limits on the lying now have gone the way of everything else. We've descended much further than mere alternative facts or fake news, because Trump not even confining himself to ignoring the contents of the files, but claiming that he is somehow exonerated by precisely the papers and documentation that Ted Lieu is referring to when he accurately reflects some of the allegations that are made in what appear to be some of the documents that have been released. It's insane. And yeah, but just before I forget, I did watch some of that interview. I don't normally, between Kash Patel and Dan Bongino. And there was a moment in it that really brought home the words of a wiser man than me about administrations never announce that they are becoming or have become fascist. All they do is portray the enemies of fascism as being criminals. And when those two characters start talking about the anti-fascist movements, or Antifa as they like to call it in the United States, that warning from history assumed a resonance that actually sent a shiver down my spine. They never announced that they're fascists. They just tried to portray the enemies of fascism as enemies of the state. I suppose the ultimate test on how worried Donald Trump is about any of this reaching the Oval Office would be if he decided to take military action against Iran, because who would argue that it wasn't designed essentially as a distraction?
Yeah, and I mean, look, I think as you and I talked about last week, he needs a distraction. I mean, not just from issues pertaining to the Epstein files, which I think are way down the list of reasons why he needs a distraction, but he needs a distraction from the U-turn that he's engaged in Minneapolis. He needs a distraction after the fury over his racist meme about the Obamas, for which he still has not and is not going to apologize. And, you know, there are suggestions, no question, that he's beefed up American military presence in the region. There were suggestions here last night that some sort of military strike could be launched as early as this weekend, although the president was said not to have made a decision. The Iranians claim that a basis for cooperation was established in talks in Geneva this week. That is not a phrase or an emotion that we are hearing echoed from the US government. Whether Donald Trump is willing to give those talks a little bit more time, I think, is unclear. I mean, remember that Tuesday night is his State of the Union address. Does he want to walk up to the podium for that speech on Tuesday night with a bit of military action against Iran behind him? If it went well, that military action, he might certainly think that that would give him a bit of a fillip as he walked into the chamber next Tuesday. But look, I think it's unclear which way he's going to go. Just briefly on that interview between Kash Patel and Dan Bongino, the fascinating thing about that is the extent that they're so comfortable with one another, because they're old muckers and they're former colleagues, that is why Kash Patel sort of is ready to luxuriate in saying things that under normal circumstances an FBI director would hesitate to put into the public domain. It's extraordinary.
All right, it's got a big curious combination of impunity and idiocy. A quick word, if you would, on why Trump keeps doing the hokey-cokey with regard to the Chagos Islands. A lot of people in this country could be forgiven for not knowing what is going on there, because various charlatans and traitors continue to celebrate Donald Trump's dishonesty with regard to this deal that was struck by the current government as a consequence of negotiations opened by the last government. But the ceding of the islands to Mauritius with the lease for the island where the American airbase is a consequence of international law, fears about Chinese threats to sovereignty regarding territory elsewhere in the region, and even Brexit, if you do the homework and the hard digging into what is actually going on here. Facts cease to matter to people keen to attack Keir Starmer. But the last time Donald Trump spoke on the subject, he was acknowledging that the British government had actually struck the best deal available. Overnight, he's decided to start taking pot shots at that again. That can't be a very effective distraction from anything for the American public. So why do you think he's doing it?
Well, I have to say, when I glanced at my phone yesterday and the LBC news alert flashed up saying Donald Trump says that he's completely agin the Chagos Islands deal, I thought there was something wrong with my phone. I thought this was like some message from months ago that had never flashed up previously, because he's been... his Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, initially described it as a monumental achievement.
Which it is.
Then Donald Trump was against it.
Yep.
Then Donald Trump was grudgingly in favour of it, saying that it was the best deal the Prime Minister could get. Then on Tuesday of this week, his State Department put out a written statement backing the deal. And then suddenly yesterday, Donald Trump did another 180. He goes back to this persistent claim that leases of things, of countries, leases of countries are no good. Even though it's a 100-year lease, it's no good. You've got to own the country, which of course is tied.
This is Greenland.
It's tied to the unresolved issue of Greenland, which will, by the way, raise its head again.
Yeah.
But what prompted it? I mean, had he had a chat with a mate of his over in the UK? We don't know. What prompted it? Who knows? But at this point, the British government surely would be perfectly entitled to say, we're just going to crack on, because the President of the United States obviously doesn't know what he wants. His own government cannot be consistent with it. They said yesterday at the White House podium, when Caroline Leavitt was asked, how do you square what the president has said on Truth Social with what the State Department said yesterday? She said, well, basically what the president says on Truth Social, that is from the horse's mouth. That is the legitimate release of information by this administration. So make of that what you will.
Well, yes, because of course it gives the lie, as you imply, to any claims that when he's posted particularly toxic stuff, it was an aide that did it, who ran away. But it doesn't matter, because they could claim next week that the stuff was an aide who did it. So they'll say yesterday, as Simon reminds us, that that is it, that is ex cathedra, which is the Latin phrase you use to describe the Pope being the vessel through which God speaks. So when Trump posts on Truth Social, that is the unalloyed truth coming direct from what passes from the president's brain. But next week they'll say the opposite again. So none of it matters. And the Chagos is a perfect example of that. An awful lot of people in British politics and media who would do well to simply make the vaguest effort to understand the background to that story and that treaty. I wouldn't expect Nigel Farage to do so, because he is, by definition, someone somebody who manipulates he just fibs through his teeth, but the rest of the people in my profession would do very well to dig a little deeper into precisely what has happened with regard to the Chagos Islands. We're a tiny bit late for the news. It's 12:36. Matt Hewitt is here.
The King says he's learned with the deepest concern the news that Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor has been arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office. The former Duke was taken into custody this morning after allegations emerged he'd sent Jeffrey Epstein sensitive information while working as a UK trade envoy. He's always denied wrongdoing in connection with his links to the late paedophile. Thames Valley police officers are searching buildings in Norfolk and Berkshire. LBC's Fraser Knight is in Windsor.
They are searching two properties, one that we understand to be in Sandringham at Wood Farm and the other here in Royal Lodge. There have been reports of police officers there carrying out searches, and that is because now that he has been arrested, those officers have the powers to gather more evidence.
In his statement, King Charles offers the authorities his full and wholehearted support and cooperation and says the law must take its course. Today is Mr. Mountbatten-Windsor's 66th birthday. LBC weather, a dry and dull day for most, patchy rain returning in the northwest later, a high of 10 degrees.
This is LBC.
This is what award-winning customer service sounds like. From real Octopus Energy calls.
The people are friendly on the telephone. You can always get a problem solved.
You've stepped it up, I think, for an energy company. So well done.
The customer service is really good.
People like yourself and all of your colleagues have done such a wonderful job.
Your customer service was tip-top. You know, I couldn't fault it.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 9 years running.
At AJ Bell, we believe investing is for everyone. Even people who know nothing about investing. Like Keith, who thought dividends were a boy band. Jessica, who thought compound interest was a prison dating app. And Sue thought FTSE 100 was a bit of under-the-table fun, which surprised her accountant.
Oh, no.
If we can make investing feel good for them, it's no wonder Which have recommended us 7 years running. AJ Bell. Feel good. Investing. The value of your investments can go up or down.
Cadbury Dairy Milk bars are made to share, but how do you decide who gets what? If you're the one who does the washing, keeps all the socks from getting separated, irons and folds it, then you deserve the biggest share. And if you have a floor drobe, well, you're lucky to get a few chunks, really. Cadbury made to share. Pick up a limited edition bar now.
This is 40-year-old Kathy, mother of two and self-confessed telly addict.
Oh, look at you. That's brilliant. Well done.
This is also Kathy, working as part of a team to keep things calm at her local prison.
Come on! Come on! Listen, speak to me.
And helping someone's son write his first letter home in 8 months.
Well done. You should be really proud.
Thank you, miss.
An extraordinary job done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
Donations to British Heart Foundation fund scientific research that can help save lives. People like Joe, who's pitching his next big business plan. Maria, who's sending out her wedding invitations. And Jack, who's just being a teenager again. Because when you donate, you fund more than just science. You help save lives. British Heart Foundation funds research that aims to cure inherited heart muscle diseases. But our work is not done. Donate now at bhf.org.uk and keep us beating.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? A record 9 years running.
This is LBC. Message James O'Brien on WhatsApp now on 0345 6060973.
It's 20 to 1. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Somewhat unexpectedly, I have an applicant for Idiot's Corner this morning. Edward's been in touch to say, you are really enjoying giving the royal family a good kicking. Maybe you would be happier living under a republic such as ERA. And you know what I like to do when I get a message of absolutely spectacular stupidity? I like to have a look at previous contributions to the programme from the person responsible. And here's an absolute classic. Between 39 and 45, Ed told LBC not long ago, I don't know why, teachers still taught in air raid shelters. These days, too many people lack moral fibre and are woke. So Ed, who doesn't think that a man who paid £12 million to a woman who'd accused him of rape while simultaneously claiming that he'd never actually met her, should be arrested, as he was today, on suspicion of... What's the arrest? Misconduct in public office. It's been a long shift, this. Ed thinks that it's the rest of the world that lacks moral fibre, and that somehow what you've been listening to today has been a joyous kicking of the entire royal family. Mate, I don't get many messages that make me wonder what on earth is going on in the brain of the person that has sent it. But air is always a bit of a red flag, isn't it? Quick update with Andy Hughes, our crime correspondent, who has been in and out of the studio all morning.
Yes, so we heard from the King in the last hour, and the first line of the statement said, "I have learned with the deepest concern the news about Andrew Mountbatten Windsor and suspicion of misconduct in public office." James, I've now had it confirmed by two sources that Thames Valley Police did not inform the King nor Buckingham Palace about the arrest, which is hardly a surprise because just say the royal family and the King was told this information. First of all, that goes against everything you learn as a detective. But second of all, it would have put the King and the detectives and Thames Valley Police in a very tricky situation if they were to inform someone ahead of an arrest. So this is now being confirmed, but it's hardly a surprise.
I hear you. And, you know, speaking of things that are hardly a surprise, we had a ex-senior officer on earlier saying that great phrase that nobody is above the law. But it is the case in this country that the King is... The King couldn't be arrested and prosecuted.
Exactly. There is only one person immune from criminal proceedings in this country, and it is the brother of the man who's been arrested this morning.
I like the way you phrased that. And, of course, you mentioned that he's his brother. A lot of people picking up on the fact that the King does not, that Charles does not mention in the statement released by Buckingham Palace just under 2 hours ago, does not mention the familial relationship between him and the man who was arrested earlier this morning. I have learned with the deepest concern the news about Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. I wouldn't read too much into that, but a lot of you have picked up on it, and I wouldn't want you to think I didn't read your messages. I just want to remind you of something that the lawyer Chris Dorr, the King's Counsel Chris Dorr, said to us earlier today when he joined us, and I asked him how serious misconduct in public office is and how often we see cases in this field being brought.
Well, firstly, James, when you're in my line of work, you tend to wake up to stories like this.
I take your point. Perhaps not with this.
Calls telling you that someone's in this position. So it's not so unusual for me. But so the answer is this. I mean, firstly, we all have to be super careful now, don't we? Because we all know that the Contempt of Court Act kicks in as soon as someone is arrested. And that means that any seriously prejudicial comment which is made in the media or on social media is potentially... something for which you could be prosecuted yourself. So I think people need to be very, very careful about wild comment about this, particularly ill-informed comment. So let me answer your question. What's misconduct in public office? Well, it's broken down into four elements, and they are these. First of all, that the defendant must be a public officer acting as such. Now, that, in this case, is not to me entirely clear, but the police must be satisfied that he is a public or was a public officer. Secondly, they willfully neglect to perform a duty or willfully misconduct themselves in that public office. So that's the second element. The third element is that misconduct must be an abuse of the public's trust in them as an office holder. And finally, the conduct must be serious enough to deserve criminal punishment. So those are the four elements of misconduct in a public office. It's very, very broad, as you will gather. It can cover a multitude of circumstances. But without making any comment on the merits one way or the other, it seems that this is focused very clearly on the release of confidential government information to Jeffrey Epstein. That seems to be the gist of it. It does not, as far as I can see, have anything to do with sexual misconduct so far.
And indeed it doesn't. Let's be absolutely clear about that. Let's also be clear that Andrew Mountbatten Windsor continues to deny any wrongdoing.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Sheila Fogarty.
The King's brother Andrew is in police custody. The King's own statement does not refer to him as a brother. Police searches at Windsor and Sandringham will have all the developments.
Sheila Fogarty at 1. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Okay, do emails. Ah, burnt toast. And now I've got to sort my repeat prescription.
Or just tap the NHS app.
The one I've already got?
Yep, you can check test results, view your GP health record and request repeat prescriptions anytime, anywhere.
All while the kettle's boiling?
Before it boils. And turning on notifications means you'll know the moment you get a new message. We're delivering an NHS fit for the future. Never miss a message. Request repeat prescriptions and more when you tap the NHS app.
A Thames Link train is a place where you can just switch off. Where you have the chance to scroll your feeds as you roll past fields, or simply relax with a podcast, playlist, or power nap. Go with your flow and save with advanced tickets at thameslinkrailway.com. Terms apply.
Thinking of buying a new electric car? It can be tough to know where to start. Luckily, the experts have done the work for you. The new smart hashtag 5 has just been announced as What Car's best family electric SUV of the year. And did we mention that the smart hashtag 1 and hashtag 3 are also previous What Car award winners? Work smart, not hard. Test drive Smart's award-winning EV range at smart.com.
A brand new podcast is racing its way to Global Player. I'm Will Buxton.
It's Naomi Schiff.
I'm David Caulfield.
And I'm Jolie Sharp.
And this is Up to Speed, bringing you fast-paced drama from the world of Formula One.
With VIP access to every twist and turn of the fastest sport in the world.
And the all-important questions we all want answered.
We'll be here to keep you up to speed.
Up to Speed with Will Buxton, Naomi Schiff, David Coulthard and Jolie Sharp.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Watch and listen on Global Player or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is 40-year-old Kathy, mother of two and self-confessed telly addict.
Ready? Oh, look at you. That's brilliant. Well done.
This is also Kathy, working as part of a team to keep things calm at her local prison.
Come on. Listen, speak to me.
And helping someone's son write his first letter home in 8 months.
Well done. You should be really proud.
Thank you, miss.
An extraordinary job done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
James O'Brien on LBC.
12:48 is the time. Stephen in Milton Keynes just made me laugh during he said, have they released the suspect's ethnicity yet to keep Nigel Farage happy? Not a word. Not a word on the suspect's ethnicity in the story that has dominated our discussions for the entire morning. But in the event of any more details emerging in the course of the next 10 minutes or so before Sheila is with you, rest assured that I will share them with you imminently, which may involve interrupting my next guest. But I hope not. Professor Anna Whitelock is the Professor of the History of Monarchy at the City of St. George's in the University of London and joins me now. I always feel a little bit embarrassed asking an august academic to sort of play a game of regal top trumps, Professor Whitelock. But what are the precedents for either the forces of law and order or the police themselves coming knocking at royal doors? Are there any?
I'm always happy for a game of top trumps. And it's a good question. And actually, often the words unprecedented are bandied around. But we really do have to look back to the 17th century and Charles I to find the last senior royal who was arrested. And you perhaps know what happened to Charles I. It didn't end well.
No spoilers, please, Anna.
No spoilers. I know. No, exactly. English Civil War. Go find out what happened to him. So, yeah, I mean, this is pretty dramatic, pretty remarkable. And perhaps I can interrupt myself by saying that actually the Prince and Princess of Wales have now just come out supporting the statement that the King made. So they've all taken their cue from the King. And I think that statement was interesting in that, you know, it tried to do what really the palace has tried to do since stripping Andrew of his titles and put some clear blue water between Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, as if he was very different and not a member of the family that he then refers to in the last sentence, saying, meanwhile, my family and I will continue in our duty and service to you all. The problem, of course, is that whilst Andrew is no longer officially a working member of the royal family, he is a member of their family. And indeed, when this activity, this alleged misconduct in public office was taking place, he was a working royal, working as a trade envoy. And so it's possible that questions will be asked of the palace, palace officials, records of the palace, about what he was doing when. So I think this hope for kind of separation and keeping everything at arm's length is going to be a rather, it's unlikely to be the case.
You remind us actually of the inadequacy of language in unprecedented times, because would it be inaccurate to describe him as still being a senior royal? Because he hasn't changed his DNA or his genetics, has he? He's just had all his baubles taken away.
I was going to wonder what you were going to say there. Yeah, he has. he is the king's brother. Yeah. I mean, you know, so he is a senior. He's not a senior working royal. But, I mean, you know, it does start to become semantics. I mean, I'm sure the king is relieved as far as he might be today that, you know, the headlines across all the news sites and newspapers are Andrew Mountbatten Windsor was arrested rather than Prince Andrew, and the fact that the king in his statement could refer to this figure that is Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. But of course it is his brother. And as I say, the misconduct was taking place when he was a member of the royal family. So either it raises questions about, you know, did the royal family, did palace officials...
Alleged misconduct, of course.
Alleged. Did this alleged misconduct happen with absolutely no knowledge of anybody in the palace? There were no records kept. They had no idea what he was doing. So are we to believe that? In which case, you know, is it not potentially quite a shoddy operation that, you know, this kind of activity wasn't monitored and scrutinised? Or are people at different levels potentially, allegedly, maybe implicated in different ways with this? And of course, we're only here talking about allegations of misconduct in public office. We haven't even got to potential future charges in relation to the wider implications of the Epstein
indeed, we
files.
Haven't. Let me steer you back to your field of expertise, if I may, and wonder whether in previous eras this wouldn't have happened regardless of how many questions hung over senior members of the royal family, because deference was so baked into our society that nobody would have taken the decision or indeed dropped the metaphorical bomb on a duke or a prince.
Well, it's a very interesting question, and I perhaps would say that actually the family themselves would perhaps have acted more ruthlessly, and we would have ended up with the brother just in the tower or, you know, executed, and they wouldn't. So in a sense, there wouldn't have been reverence within the family. So I think they would have sort of dealt with it themselves, because he would have just been seen as, you know.
Because protecting the brand has been, for the best part of 1,000 years, has been the paramount priority.
Exactly. So for them, Andrew is very expendable. Wow. And, you know, so yes, I suspect they would have been more ruthless themselves, and they wouldn't have waited around for the police or law authorities here.
It struck me that the actions that led to Charles I's arrest, when he was essentially trying to tell parliamentarians what they could and couldn't do. I don't know whether I'm going to advertise my ignorance. My history A-level was mostly about Charlemagne, so I'm a little bit out of my comfort zone. It's not unlike what Donald Trump was trying to do the other day with the congressman who had recorded a video telling soldiers not to disobey illegal orders.
Yeah, I mean, it's a kind of slightly kind of awkward parallel, but...
Radio for 3 hours.
Well, no, fair play to you. I mean, the point that I would make, interesting, is if this ever, of course, got to trial, I mean, 2 points. One is, it would be the Crown against Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, which in itself is quite interesting.
Yeah.
And also, of course, that when the King said nobody is above the law in this country, that was actually inaccurate, because there is one person above the law, and that is the King, who can't be tried in a law court, which in itself is perhaps quite interesting and maybe in the future unsustainable, given everything that's happening now.
Where does that date to? When did that become law?
Well, I mean, there you go back through, you know, the past right back, you know, because we have an unwritten constitution, so it becomes precedent and principle. And, you know, yes, there was Magna Carta and so on contained the power of the monarch, but still, you know, the monarch had ultimately that position above the law. Parliament was the lawmaking body.
Indeed. Thank you very much indeed, Professor Anna Whitelock, with a masterful overview of some of the ramifications of today's events and also putting it into context with the dim and distant past as well. So Emily Maitlis was right. I didn't for a minute doubt it, that Charles I was the last member of the royal family to get arrested. And though, of course, as Professor Whitelock reminded us, that doesn't mean that there weren't alleged miscreants in the royal ranks in previous years. It's just that they would have done their own clean-ups rather than wait for the forces of law and order to do it. Gordon Brown has responded to news of Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor's arrest. He says, I have submitted a 5-page memorandum to the Metropolitan, Surrey, Sussex, Thames Valley and other relevant UK police constabularies. The memorandum provides new and additional information to that which I submitted last week to the Met, Essex and Thames Valley police forces, where I expressed my concern that we secure justice for trafficked girls and women. Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor has always, of course, denied any allegations of wrongdoing in connection to Epstein, but it is interesting that Gordon Brown has chosen this moment to make that public. It is coming up to 12:58, and you are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. If you've just woken up after a particularly enjoyable lion, it's my duty to inform you that Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor was arrested at around 10 o'clock this morning on suspicion of misconduct in public office. I would not be surprised, or rather I would be surprised, if this story doesn't continue to dominate our coverage on LBC, of everything really, for the foreseeable future. Andy Hughes, thank you for your sterling support and work this morning. And also, just to be a little bit inappropriate and in-house for a moment, it's blowing your scoop out of the water now, isn't it?
It certainly has. It still had legs, your story, and it
may yet come back into relevance as these inquiries into the former members of the Close Protection officers continue. Another word about colleagues. I like this from Imtiaz. Great, and really, given the excellent guests that you've had on your show this morning, James, would you please confirm that you didn't get an early tip-off about Andrew's imminent arrest and that the guests were, in fact, due to the stellar work done by your production team? I'm happy to make that absolutely clear, and indeed to confirm. Had absolutely nothing to do with me. I'm responsible only for what goes into the microphone when I'm talking. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on our free Global Player app or the LBC app, where you can also stay up to date with all the latest news, videos and opinions. You can listen to a range of podcasts, including James O'Brien Daily, which features the best bits from this show every day. Be a bit tricky today because we have run a risk at times of just repeating ourselves ad infinitum for the entire 3 hours, but someone's got to edit it. Good luck, Dan. And of course, you can also download Full Disclosure, which features a very powerful and at times rather moving interview with the Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan. Download the official LBC app for free from your app store now. Coming up at 4 on LBC, it's Tom Swarbrick. But just before I hand over to Sheila Fogarty, the last word today goes to Paul, of course, picking up on Stephen and Milton Keynes's point about not a word being said about the ethnicity of the man arrested this morning, which no doubt will be causing Nigel Farage enormous anger. But I should remind you that the suspect is, of course, the child of a migrant. Here's Sheila Fogarty.
Thank you very much, James. Well, the arrest that you've been talking about all morning, Hove interviewed early on this morning around breakfast time. Neither Andrew nor the King was told in advance. Andrew faces allegations of misconduct in public life, as I'm sure you know now. The King's statement about his brother didn't actually contain the word brother. I'll read it to you in full in a moment. But it does say that the law must take its course. LBC has reporters at Sandringham, where the arrest took place, Windsor Royal Lodge. Searches are taking place in both of those locations. The Princess Royal, the King and the Queen are all scheduled to carry out separate official engagements today, so we'll keep a close eye on those. One, ironically, is at a prison. I'm just saying.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock, the King says the law must take its course after Andrew Mountbatten Windsor was arrested. The former Duke was taken into custody this morning after allegations emerged he'd sent Jeffrey Epstein sensitive government information while working as a UK trade envoy. He's accused of misconduct in public office. Barrister Chris Dorr, KC, has been telling LBC it's a broad term.
It can cover a multitude of circumstances, but without making any comment on the merits one way or the other, it seems that this is focused very clearly on the release of confidential government information to Jeffrey Epstein. That seems to be the gist of it. It does not have anything to do with sexual misconduct.
The siblings of Virginia Giuffre, who was trafficked by Epstein, have responded, "At last today, our broken hearts have been lifted at the news that no one is above the law, not even royalty." Andrew has always denied wrongdoing in connection with his links to the late paedophile. Thames Valley police officers are searching buildings we understand to be at Sandringham and the Royal Lodge in Windsor. LBC's Fraser Knight is in Windsor.
That is because now that he has been arrested, those officers have the powers to search and to find devices and look through paperwork to gather more evidence now that a criminal investigation has been opened.
In his statement, King Charles offers the authorities his full and wholehearted support and cooperation and says what now follows is the full, fair and proper process by which this issue is investigated in the appropriate manner by the appropriate authorities. Royal commentator Jenny Bond says she was expecting something to happen, but not this.
I think most people thought we might possibly see police cars arriving to carry out a search of properties in which the former prince has lived. But to have him arrested is extraordinary and shocking.
Also in the last half hour, the former Prime Minister, Gordon Brown, announced he submitted 5 pages of new and additional information to the police and expressed his wish to secure justice for trafficked girls and women. Stay with LBC for the very latest. In other news, a British couple's been jailed for 10 years in Iran on spying charges. Lindsay and Craig Foreman from East Sussex both deny the allegations, and their family says Iranian authorities have offered no evidence. And a 45-year-old father of three has been jailed for 21 years for the rape of a 13-year-old girl in Rotherham. Riyash Hussain was also found guilty at Sheffield Crown Court of raping a woman then aged in her 20s. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 66 points at 10,619. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.14. LBC weather, cloudy for most, showers in the northwest of the UK, some bright spells in Wales and a high of 3 to 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Matt Hewitt.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible, and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search, don't get caught out.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Sheila Fogarty.
Hello there, good afternoon to you. I think you can imagine what we're going to be talking about mostly this afternoon, which is the arrest this morning of Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, formerly Prince Andrew, arrested and still in custody on suspicion of misconduct in public office. I'll read the full police statement in a moment. The King has put out a statement, which I think is as notable as the one that the late Queen Elizabeth put out about Harry and Meghan when they left the UK and withdrew from working royal life. The statement from the King reads as follows. He doesn't actually refer to him as his brother at all. "I've learned with the deepest concern the news about Andrew Mountbatten Windsor and suspicion of misconduct in public office. What now follows is the full, fair and proper process by which this issue is investigated in the appropriate manner and by the appropriate authorities. In this, as I have said before, they have our full and wholehearted support and cooperation." The statement goes on, "Let me state clearly, the law must take its course. As this process continues, it would not be right for me to comment further on this matter. Meanwhile, my family and I will continue in our duty and service to you all. Signed, Charles R. And they are doing that this afternoon, the Princess Royal, the King, the Queen, all on separate royal engagements today. We have reporters at Sandringham and at Windsor and on some of those royal engagements too. And we're going to be discussing what's happened and what the implications are. Clearly, it's a live case that's still being investigated and an arrest has been made. And for all we know about the individual who's been arrested, it's important that we tread carefully on that. But John Sopel joins me, co-host of Global's podcast, The News Agents. We sometimes overuse the word unprecedented, but this is fairly unprecedented, isn't it?
Oh, this is truly jaw-dropping, truly extraordinary. And yet, given the slew of allegations that there have been, in some ways should be unsurprising. But, you know, sentences you would never think you would ever say. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, formerly His Royal Highness Prince, you know, the Prince Andrew, who also the Duke of York, is under arrest and
in police custody.
In police custody. And you just think, I'm never, ever going to be able to say, I'll never say that out loud. And here we are. And the statement from the King, and we've talked, Sheila, over the past few days about, you know, the age of deference and whether people have lent over too much towards... This is a statement from the King that says that Andrew Mountbatten Windsor is just like any other citizen. There is no, you know, the word impunity gets used a lot. There is no impunity anymore. It's the law is going to take its course. He is innocent until proven guilty. But I think an awful lot of people would have probably imagined it would never have come to this, that there would have been something done. I was speaking to people earlier in the week who were saying to me, you know what, I'm hearing that he might get arrested. Now, I've seen a lot of reporting saying that the King was not informed directly when this arrest was going to take place.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there was an awareness that this was possible. And even this morning, you know, I got a message saying, you know, police are at Sandringham. I thought, well, I'm sure it's just inquiries, as Jenny Bond was saying. Because arrest, you know, you are under caution. You are arrested and you are read your rights.
You're arrested on suspicion of something. And police
exactly.
have to have reason for suspicion.
Exactly. It's not just helping a police with their inquiries. It's an arrest, which presumably they may have done a good deal of work before this has happened. And whilst I'm sure it's absolutely true that the King didn't know about the precise timing of any of it, you can imagine the conversations that have gone on between Buckingham Palace, the various police forces, Number 10 Downing Street, the Cabinet Office, because this does take us, this takes the royal family...
Into new territory.
Into new territory that they've never been in before.
It does, and I think, you know, I don't want to overparse the statement of the King, but I think comparing it to that one from the late Queen Elizabeth, in which she said the word family, I think, 9 times, because she wanted the warmth that she still felt, or wanted us to think she felt, for Meghan and Harry to be evident. I know these are very different stories, but this statement today from the King is entirely the opposite. The word family appears once at the end, and he does not even use the word brother about his brother.
I think the levels of exasperation
and distancing
that has been felt by the royal family towards Andrew Mountbatten Windsor is intense, and that for whatever reason, that, you know, the statement that Andrew Mountbatten Windsor originally put out about the victims, and, you know, the King then puts out another statement which is a lot firmer. I think that everything